You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
Oh, man, it is time for another episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right, and we bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple of news topics prepared for you. Why are you... Mike is trying to do the wacky pen technique while I'm introducing the show. What is this? What are you doing? I don't know.
It just struck me. I'm like, I'm going to try to distract him by wiggling my pen around. You know, in grade school when you would wiggle your pen and make it look like it's floppy?
Flop, yeah.
Yeah, I thought I would do that
Did you think I didn't go to grade school?
No, no. What? Look, Rich, I have a flop.
Whoa, you're blowing me away here, Mike. Wow.
It's my magic trick. Look.
Way to start the show on an audio-only podcast. Wow. Blowing me away here.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed that. I thought I would just distract you and make you laugh. It ended up making me laugh more than it made you laugh.
As long as you're happy, Mike, that's all I care about.
Thank you.
As long as Mike's happy, you're happy, dear listener. That's all that matters. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Before we delve into all of the topics that we want to go over with, we'd like to do a little intro and recap what we've been up to in the past week since we last did a show. So, Mike, besides your wacky pen, what are you doing?
Are you just running around Ambler? Just running up to people and being, look at my pen.
It's wavy.
I was going to say something really dirty, but I'm not going there.
Why not?
Can you discipline him?
Oh, kinky.
You want to get disciplined? Is that what this is?
My pen is very floppy.
Can you discipline him?
Oh, kinky.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
All right, we're not even 3 minutes into the show. We're already doing some sexual jokes.
Why not? That's what we're all about here, sexual innuendo.
I know it's something to do with sex.
All right, buckle in, everybody.
My weekend
show
could not be further from that. I finished watching Bloodline season one.
Mike.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry,
single
Mike.
Single tear.
Oh.
You know, it's a busy time right now. So, you know, it's just been the weekend. It's just focused on finishing up Bloodline Season 1 and watching that awful Eagles game.
Mm-hmm. Which we'll get to.
We'll get to in the sports sampler. But
I'm glad you've completed Bloodline. That's one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, and I had talked about that on the podcast a long time ago for This Week in Entertainment. When it first came out, I said, you know, everybody go check out the show. And as I normally do with my suggestions, I don't follow them at all. And so I finally got around to watching Bloodline, and it's amazing. It lived up to all the hype I mentioned when it first came out 2-3 years ago. It's fantastic. It's just a well-written family drama. You know, it's not sci-fi or fantasy or horror. There's no gimmicks. You know, there's nothing, I don't want to say there's nothing special about it, but there's nothing strange or crazy about it. It's just a well-written, tightly developed family drama where all the issues come out of the characters rather than feeling contrived. And what I loved most about it is because it's a family drama, every line is dripping with subtext.
Yeah.
You know, when they say something, you know that there's that family history there, and you know that there's something else going on. And so it keeps you guessing. It keeps you intrigued. And that's what I love about it. All the mystery, you get this sense that there's this dark family history, and you're uncovering it piece by piece as you go through the first season. So I thought they did a fantastic job with it.
My favorite part is Danny, who's played by Ben Mendelsohn.
Mendelsohn, I think his name is. Yeah. He did a fantastic job. I think he was probably, obviously, the most compelling character in the series. And everything he says, everything he does, he just keeps you guessing. He keeps you on your toes. You don't know what to think about him. And he's always, you know, challenging your expectations and pulling you every which way. Do you feel sorry for him? Are you angry at him? Do you trust him? Do you mistrust him? And that's what keeps you hooked in.
Yeah, it's a great show.
It's really, really good.
And I'm looking forward to Ben Mendelsohn being the villain in Rogue One.
Yeah, you just told me that. I didn't know that he was in Rogue One, but now I'm really excited, even more so, to see that, to see what he can bring to the big screen.
I'm very anxious. I can't wait to see Rogue One. I think it's going to blow people away.
You said he's like an admiral or a colonel or some...
I know he's a high-ranking official in the Imperial Army, because Rogue One is going to take
between
place
3 and 4, right?
That's correct. Yeah, and it's about how the rebels originally get the plans to the Death Star.
Okay, so you think?
Because remember, somebody says like many Bothan spies died for this information.
So these are the Bothan.
These are the spies. Yeah.
Okay. So do you think he's like Grand Admiral Tarkin or whatever his name is, like a younger
Grand Moff Tarkin?
Grand Moff Tarkin. I can remember.
I guess he's around that rank. Because, yeah, actually...
But what I'm saying is he him? Is he a younger version of that guy?
I don't think that they would do a direct...
Well, why not?
I don't know. I think then you're playing with legacy. I don't know. I think he's going to be his own character.
The canon is empty there. They could.
Just have it be this...
Just his own person?
If they're smart, make it its own original story. Keep it everything original. Because otherwise, then I feel like you're being desperate. I feel like you're desperate to try and cling on to...
I don't know if including Grand Moff Tarkin is being desperate.
You underestimate the Grand Moff Tarkin fans out there, all right?
Does he have a really big fan
base? Yeah, all right.
Okay.
I don't think you realize that Grand Moff Tarkin in A New Hope is actually supposed to be the main villain, and Darth Vader is supposed to be number two.
Yeah, that doesn't come across at all. Like, I know that in terms of hierarchy, that's the way it is.
Because remember, Princess Leia says something like, oh, I should have expected you were the one that was holding Vader's leash.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah actually, Vader was supposed to be number two to Tarkin.
It doesn't come across that way on the screen, though.
Right.
I blame that on Lucas's script writing.
it's not that bad. Make it sound like it's the worst thing in the world.
Okay.
It's A New Hope. It's immaculate.
No, New Hope is good. I'm just saying George Lucas is not the best wordsmith out there.
Only when it comes to technical stuff, like how you...
Midichlorians.
Yeah. Oh, God. All right.
Pod racing. Jar Jar Binks. Those are things, Rich.
Yes.
They exist. You cannot escape them.
Wow, all right. I was very dark.
Very dark, very serious.
Very dark
They are specters hanging over your head.
Thanks. Well, you know, I actually have another specter that's hanging over my head.
Oh, yeah? What specter's hanging over your head?
It's not just John Bruno, too, if you follow me on Snapchat. He was hanging over my head during a Snapchat.
That was great.
Make sure you're following me on Snapchat. My username on that is T-O-A-O-R-I-C-H-Y, because it stands for the one and only.
Yeah.
That's like a gamer tag that I use.
You've been using that for a while, yeah.
Yeah.
That goes back. Yeah.
But I'm sure if you search Rich Liebig, you'd find me, too, so... Make sure to do that on Snapchat. But if you saw it, there's like I got a 3-second snap of just John Bruno, our associate producer, just hanging over me. Just weird. I don't know. You have to see it.
This is an experience.
So now there's three different specters all over me. Those two, and then this third one, which is just really random as hell. A good friend of mine, Eric Twaddle, giving him a shout out here. He called me right before we were about to record.
Yeah.
And he said that he was lost in North Philly, specifically around my alma mater at LaSalle University. Yeah. And he has a message for me. And I have not, I guess we should play it.
Sure. I mean, if he has a message specifically for you, what better forum
than
the podcast?
Right. That's going to go out to all the listeners out there.
Yeah.
So, okay, Twaddle, this is for you. You told me you wanted this played on the podcast, and it's about him, I guess, his first impression being on LaSalle's campus. So here we go.
So get up on the wrong elevator. I'm in a loading dock area. Don't know quite where I am. After about 10 minutes of walking around aimlessly on LaSalle's campus, I finally find my car. These snaps are dedicated to Rich Liebig and his sh** school with its sh** campus.
and this shit part of Philly.
So, thank you. Thank you, Twaddle. Thank you for that lovely message.
It's, to be fair,
it's son not, of a bitch.
It's not in the best part of the city.
Yeah, all right. All right, yeah.
It's not in the best part.
Okay, we're not Temple, all right? Excuse us.
Temple's not much better. I don't know why you're comparing it to Temple.
Temple at least has, like, the police presence.
Everyone, well, LaSalle has, they have campus.
LaSalle's got some.
I don't know, I've never been to LaSalle.
LaSalle is
See, I skip over that area of the city when I take public transportation. I just get through, just woof, straight through.
LaSalle is like, just stay on campus, you're fine. But if you walk off campus, your life's in your own hands. Good luck.
You don't have that problem with mainline schools.
Oh, yeah, you fancy Vanilla Nova kids, yeah.
But you call Vanilla Nova?
Yeah.
That's all great. Right. I've never heard that
we
before.
We have diversity, all right?
Diversity.
That's what I call
okay.
it.
All right.
You don't have the experience.
You don't know how you're going to be attacked. It could be a gun. It could be a knife.
You don't know.
Diversity.
Yeah, you don't know what it's like to go on Broad and Olney and take the subway.
Well, you mentioned a few episodes ago, everybody has their own cross to bear. Mine was geese. Yours was crackheads.
Yeah,
so,
right?
You know?
Boy, that's a true college experience, your first Philly crackhead.
First Philly crackhead.
It's such a lovely moment.
You look back, your fond college days.
Yeah, you bust your cherry.
Your crackhead cherry.
Yeah.
You always remember the first one.
Right. I definitely have mine, I know that.
His name was Toothless Jim.
I didn't find out his name, that's how I knew he was a crackhead. And you keep walking.
And you keep walking.
And you keep walking.
Don't make eye contact.
That's the lesson, folks.
Oh, wow. There you go. Life lessons here on the Crispy Noodle.
Yeah. Who would have thought this early?
Certainly not
podcast.
I.
all right. So there you go. Thank you, Eric Twaddle, for completely dissing my my university in his Snapchats. I'm sure.
This is good. I like it.
He's my drinking buddy.
Yeah.
And he says we need to do a drunk episode. What do you think?
Well, we've been trying to plan that for ages.
Do you think we actually should go forward with this? We should do a drunk episode?
Yeah, we were supposed to do one over the summer.
Yeah.
And we never could nail down a day.
All right. Well, I think we're going to have to renew our commitment in this.
Maybe
a drunk episode.
Maybe sometime over the holidays, maybe? Or is that too busy? I don't know. I love how we're planning the show while recording the show.
This is meta.
So, all right, Rich, what's on episode 181? Let's start hammering out the details now.
Well, all
what's
right.
the Fantastic Four going to be? All
no. right. Let us know if you want a drunk episode.
Yeah. Tweet at us.
Tweet at us.
At the Crispy Noodle.
Drunk. Hashtag drunk yes. Hashtag drunk no.
Drunk yes. Drunk no. You make it. You're going to make them sound like a Neanderthal. Drunk yes.
Yeah, I like drunk.
Drunk yes.
All right. Sure.
That's the opinion you have of our fans.
I'm trying to keep it simple.
Okay.
Simplicity is.
See, I would have done like hashtag please do a drunk episode. I think it would be quite humorous.
That takes up the whole 140 characters.
Well, I'm a fan of complete sentences.
You professor, go back to Cabrini. All right.
I will.
You want to talk about your safe schools. You go to
those geese. It's not completely safe.
Screw your geese.
Geese crime is on the rise.
Geese crime?
Geese crime, yeah.
What, they're selling you smack?
Sell us lots of stuff.
Here's some smack.
Is that what they sound like?
Smack. That's all they say.
You want some cocaine, kiddies?
That's all they say.
Come back to my nest.
It's perfect.
Oh my God.
Well, if you ever go into drugs, I know what you're going to be saying.
Happy, happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth.
There you go. So we can go that
this
route.
This intro has gone so far off the rails.
Well, that is the nature
We're
of
not
the
even
Christmas
a train
podcast.
Anymore. We're no. a boat at this point.
The train is in the ocean.
The train is in the ocean.
Yeah. All right. You know what? You do make a fair point. We do need to get to our topics at hand. So let's go into our first batch of topics. We group them together by sports because that's one of the most favorite things that we like to talk about. So let's go into the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Sports coming at you in your face. This is kind of a relatively new segment that we've been doing here.
Yeah, we've been doing it, I guess, for several episodes. I think it was like a few months. But it's become one of our favorite bits that we do here in the Sports Sampler. We like to kick things off with a couple of very quick headlines. We try and do it in as little time as possible. Therefore, we have the 2-minute drill.
All right, let's launch into it. Mike, what do you have? What's the first topic?
All right, well, first up, we have some football news. Actually, all football news, but first up, something a little serious. Broncos head coach Gary Kubiak is taking the week off with a complex migraine condition. Yeah, I know. It doesn't sound very good, though. But John Elway has named special teams coordinator Joe DeCamillis as interim head coach. Kubiak is expected to return October 17th. We hope that he gets well soon and comes back to the Broncos. They're in a great position right now, 4-1 in that division. So hopefully 4-1, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
I don't like to see him down and out, but hopefully he takes the time to recover properly. The big question I have is, why the special teams coordinator?
Yeah,
that seems like a weird
choice. Seems like an odd choice, but you know what? They have some great personnel there. They have great players, a great defense. I think they'll be all right for this week.
Yeah.
But in other NFL news, something that's causing headaches for NFL teams all over the league, the NFL tightens restrictions on teams' social media accounts, telling them that they cannot share clips of the game an hour before or an hour after the game.
Okay.
And this is to somehow combat declining viewership, because they think that people will just watch the highlights and not tune in the actual games. I think that's BS.
Yeah.
I think it's the number of commercials they show during those stupid games. Kickoff, commercial. Turnover, commercial. Everything that happens, commercial.
Yeah, it's all BS, and it's just another sign that Goodell wants this league to be the no-fun league.
Yeah, really. Get rid of Thursday Night Football. Nobody's watching Thursday Night Football, and stop it with the commercials. But you know what, Goodell? You know what's an even bigger pain in Goodell's side? This. The Pats have activated the Brady. Quarterback Tom Brady returns in stunning fashion with a 400-yard, 3-touchdown performance against the Browns. He's pissed. He's back. Look out.
All right. There you go. That's our 2-minute drill
for
this week. Yeah. Fit that in. Just at the nick of time, too, right at the end.
Yeah.
But now it's time to get to some homegrown news. And unfortunately, this one's a heartbreaker for Eagles fans. The Eagles dropped a close one
to
the Detroit Lions, 24-23, their first loss of the season.
It's a heartbreaker. And here I thought they were going to go 16-0.
Okay, you're deluding yourself, Wensylvania over there.
I mean, realistically, people can't be that shocked. I mean, should this have been a game that we won? Yes. Could this have been a game that we could win? I just said could like four times in that sentence.
It's okay.
Yes, we should have won it. We could have won it. But we're not going to go 16-0. I already said best case scenario, 10-6. So you have to account.
I still think that's too high.
You still think that's too high?
I don't think they're going to get double digits, no.
Well, even so, still 9-7, you know, there's going to be losses. Okay.
Yep.
This is not a 13-3, 14-2 team.
No.
And this game really showed that no matter how well certain parts of the team can play, this is still a team that has a lot of pieces to fill. Okay. So why don't we go over some of the good, the bad, and the ugly of the game that we noticed? Let's start with the good. Let's start with the positive.
Okay.
One of the positives for me, Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
I know he threw that interception.
Look, that doesn't count. That shouldn't count. That was the end of the game.
Look,
that's just you're desperate. You're trying to.
If a rookie quarterback with no preseason goes four full games before throwing his first interception, that is a win, because you look at Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, ooh.
6-7 interceptions in four games. That's a $72 million investment.
Yeah.
That the Houston Texans are going, oh my God, we should have stuck with the other guy who threw four interceptions in one playoff game. They made the playoffs.
At least they made the playoffs with him.
Are they going to make the playoffs with Osweiler?
Probably not.
I don't know. You know, so I look at Carson Wentz, even with the interception, he had over 100 quarterback rating. He's completing 76% of his passes, okay? When he passes the ball, it's being caught. And that's even with all the drops.
Yeah, a lot of times that incompletion rate is due because the wide receiving core of the Eagles is atrocious.
You can't get more efficient than 76%. That is really
probably,
high.
If he had a DeSean Jackson or a DeAndre Hopkins or Jeremy Maclin, something like that.
Jeremy Maclin,
something that would stretch the field more, his percentage would be up.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think so. And he's really had to fight for the yardage that he's gotten. He had 240 yards on just 25 passes. You know, he's really working hard to get the ball into the hands of his receivers. excuse me. So I don't take away too much from him because of that interception. Because when you look at that, and this is going to get into my ugly comments, but when you look at that interception, Nelson Agholor did such a bad job there. It looked like he had trouble locating the ball. It looked like he didn't know what to expect. He couldn't get away from the defender. These wide receivers are getting no separation from the defender. They're not dynamic enough to break away, to run their routes crisp and sharp enough that they can get away from these defenders. When the Lions' defenders are on you like glue,
they're not exactly a top 10 defense.
No, they're not. And so it worries me when guys like Nelson Agholor, who was drafted, what, I think like 18th or 19th overall 2 years ago?
Yeah.
When he can't get separation, that's worrying. When you throw deep and he's looking over the wrong shoulder and stumbling and the defender looks more like a receiver than he does, that's a problem.
Yeah, this wide receiving core is going to be the limit to Carson Wentz's production this year. It's a shame. If he just had...
It really is.
If he had just one, like, breakout receiver, I would say the Eagles' offense would be potent.
Yeah, because it's not just the Nelson Agholor one earlier
Jordan
in the game.
Jordan Matthews drops passes. He's not a number one.
That's the thing. It's all of them.
Yeah.
If it were just one guy, that's understandable. But all four of them, Josh Huff, Jordan Matthews, Nelson Agholor, Dorial Green-Beckham, they've all dropped gifts at one point or another. They all show a lack of effort. Maybe not Jordan Matthews tries, but Nelson Agholor on that interception, he didn't do a good enough job of preventing that interception. You know, you watch that play. He's stumbling. He looks confused. He looks lost. But Dorial Green-Beckham, he dropped one that could have been a touchdown.
Yeah.
He also had one where he walked out of bounds at the 4-yard line. Okay? Now, when I watch Martellus Bennett for the Patriots dive from the 5.
That's the difference.
And get a touchdown and Dorial Green-Beckham walks out.
That's the difference.
That's the difference between winning that game and losing that game, is that little extra bit of effort.
Yep.
You know, people get...
That's what makes the Patriots the Patriots, and that makes the other teams the other teams.
Yeah, because they're willing to go that extra yard, that extra inch. And the Eagles players, was it bye week rust? Was it thinking that they were going to roll over the Lions and face their division rival, the Redskins, the next week? I don't know. I'm chalking it up to the hype getting to their head. I hope that they'll bounce back from this, because that was a very winnable game. You know, that was very winnable if they just correct some of those mental mistakes.
The penalties, was another thing.
Yeah. So, all right. So we start out with the good and immediately went to the bad.
That's the Philadelphia and us.
So why don't we just jump into the bad then?
Oh, we're not in the bad. I thought we were in the bad.
All right. Well, let's continue with the bad then. Speaking of penalties, I don't know what your opinions of this are, but when you look at the box score and you see the penalties for each side, okay, 14 penalties for 111 yards for the Eagles. Now, usually when one team gets that many penalties, both teams are usually called a lot because it shows the officials are being really strict, right? The Lions had 2 penalties. Are you telling me the Lions are that much more disciplined than the Eagles?
Okay.
I'm just saying, I'm not saying that the refs were unfair towards the Eagles. I'm saying,
I don't know. Are you?
I'm saying there's a large discrepancy there between the number they called for the Eagles and the number they called for the Lions. The Eagles deserved a lot of them.
Right. I think the Eagles deserved a lot of them. There were a couple of BS penalties. There was one where there was a roughing the passer on Matt Stafford as he slid.
Yeah.
And they said he went after his head.
There was another one.
I was like, really?
There was another one. And you can go back and you watch the video of this. Even the announcers sound confused because the ref called unnecessary roughness late hit on 31. And then they show a shot of one of our defensive ends hitting Matt Stafford. And it's like the refs don't even know what they're talking about. One time they called a flag on an ineligible receiver downfield, number 98 on the offense. Number 98 is Connor Barwin.
Yeah, you're a little wrong on that one.
And then after the game, the ref said he was confused and he saw the Lions player number 98 and thought it was an Eagles player. Did they even realize?
Do you know the colors?
Did they even know who was playing?
Somebody colorblind.
All I'm saying is the Eagles deserve the penalties, but when one team gets penalized 14 times and the other team is shocking when they only get 2 penalties, it's the largest gap, the largest discrepancy in penalties called in week 5. I think that for me is the issue. It's not why we lost the game. It just annoyed me.
All right. So even though we have these issues with the officials, I do have to agree with the Ryan Matthews fumble call. I think that was the right call. First off, it was a fumble. I don't know why that was even part of the question.
Well, it was a fumble. The question came out. Is Jason Kelce, if he's out of bounds and he touches the ball.
So the ball rolled.
Right.
And as the players were trying to retrieve it, Jason Kelce he touches it, but he goes out of bounds, but he doesn't have possession of the ball. And then the Lions recover it.
Per the rule, though, I think it's supposed to be dead.
But it incidentally touched. It doesn't even incidentally touch him. It actually goes between his legs. If you look closer into the. Into the replay.
So hold on. My problem is saying incidental touching. If a player's down on the ground and somebody brushes him with his knee, he's down by contact. So that's incidental touching. Should we say two hand touch? Like what is the schoolyard rules?
No, but come on. When you look at that play in real time action, the Lions got that ball back.
They reviewed the play though.
Yeah, and they reviewed the play too, and the NFL officials upheld it.
I don't know.
From
what I understand, from what people said after the game, it should have been a dead ball.
I don't think that's the hill to die on in this game.
No.
If you're really
angry. There were much bigger problems.
Right. If you're really angry about.
Like, for one, why call that play in the fourth quarter?
Right.
You know, there's other issues. I disagree with what the refs said. I disagree with the officiating of that game because they were lost from start to finish.
There's other issues with that refereeing crew besides that game.
But
that play.
I think it is important, though. It's like a cherry on top of the worst officiating that I've seen this season for the Eagles so far. Because the number of penalties, you have to admit, 14-2, that is a huge. If they're calling everything for the Eagles, how are they not calling the holding things on the Lions? And all the other little incidental things they could be calling on the Lions.
Yeah.
You know, it just seems odd. It seems odd. We've both watched a lot of football. Very rarely do we see if they're that strict with one team, they're that lenient with another.
Yeah.
Okay, they were lost. They picked up a couple of flags that they never explained. Like, much later, like minutes later, they're like, oh, by the way, like on the kickoff, oh, by the way, it's gonna be at the 35. There was no penalty. Like, the officiating was just bad from start to finish. But that's not the reason we lost.
No,
one of the reasons we lost, though, that you could point to, first half defense.
Yeah, they were just very rusty coming out the gate.
The defense allowed 20 points the first three games, and then 21 in the first half of this one.
I do have to admit, though, here's a big weakness with the Eagles' defense. They get tired out. Yeah. If they don't come up with a stop in the first or second series, which is what they have been doing in those three wins before the bye week, if they don't come up with a stop in those first two series, they get tired quickly.
They do seem like they get winded. Is that still the effects of Chip Kelly wearing them out so much last year?
Maybe.
I kid. I'm just going to blame it all on him.
But the Lions, they did a really good strategy where, if you notice, the first three possessions took up 17 minutes of game time.
Yeah, they took up a huge amount of time.
And that's twofold. You tire out the Eagles' defense, and you keep Carson Wentz on the bench.
Yeah. It was a great strategy by the Lions. They did a really good job of holding onto the ball and dragging out those drives and really did tire us out. The other thing that I noticed, I read a couple articles about this, they were keeping Nigel Bradham on the sideline a lot. You know, he had a great couple of games. He had that incident in Miami. People were wondering, are they trying to punish him by keeping him on the sideline and putting Michael Kendricks in, who's been struggling this year? I don't know. But all in all, the defense was having a lot of trouble that first half.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, I love how they pop up the stat. Zero passing touchdowns allowed. Three in the first half.
Yep.
You know, it's like one of those very Eagle things to do. You know? Oh, they've only allowed 20 points. Surprise, they're going to double their season total of points allowed in the first half. That's insane.
Yep. And you know what, too? I think teams are beginning to notice that, hey, the Eagles aren't a pushover team this year. So I think teams are actually showing up.
They weren't trying the first 3 weeks is what you're saying.
I think especially the one with the Steelers. I guarantee you Big Ben and the Steelers thought they were just going to roll over the Eagles in that week 3 game.
Have you seen the GIF online where It's like a short video of somebody punching someone in the back of
the
head.
Yeah, right.
And they superimpose like the Eagles logo of the guy punching
the Steelers.
The Steelers. And then the Steelers guy
punches the Chiefs.
And punches the Chiefs in the head. I mean, that's what it was. Like we sucker punch the Steelers and they're like, whoa, yeah, you know, we're supposed to be better than that. And they just take out all their rage on the Chiefs.
Yeah, that usually happens. You know, because you don't want teams to believe that they're inferior to the rest of the league.
Yeah, well that's why it always works in the Patriots' favors whenever the NFL places punishments on them.
Yeah, right. They get more angry
every time.
Look at the game with the Cleveland Browns. Jeez, they demolished them.
They really did. Well,
they took out their third string quarterback.
I know they're like signing like free agents off of like practice squads and stuff. It's like.
They're gonna be hiring Ken Bone soon from the debates. He seems like he'd be an all right quarterback.
Why? You can't get much worse in Cleveland.
Yeah, boy, man, I'm really serious about this. I think they can go 0-16 this year.
The way that they're playing, I can't disagree.
I think they're a contender.
I think so too. Should we start the futility watch?
I think we might have to. They're 0-5.
0-5. Yeah.
Yeah.
0-5. It could happen.
I think they're on their way.
They play in a tough division too.
Right.
The Ravens, the Steelers, and the Bengals. I don't care what their records are. They're three tough teams.
Right.
You know,
I think we have to bring back the futility watch,
especially since a lot of the other teams got much better this year. Like the Jags are surprisingly not great, but better. The Raiders are better. So there's a lot more competition this year. But right.
Well, you know what? Speaking of Brady coming back and. Just destroying Cleveland.
Yeah.
It's actually appropriate because you've picked Brady's second game as one of our Fantastic Four picks. Should we just launch right into the Fantastic Four picks?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, here we go. It's time for our Fantastic Four picks for week number 6. Launch it.
All right. This week in the Fantastic Four picks, as you mentioned, Brady's second game. He's using a scorched Ohio policy.
I like this phrase you use.
Yeah. Well, he already beat Cleveland, but now the Bengals are rolling into New England to try and take on the Brady-fueled Patriots Sunday, October 16th at 1 o'clock. Do I even need to ask? But, Rich, how do you feel about this one?
Well, you know, I mean, this is just another one of those cases where there's so much going for the Patriots. They got Brady back. He seems to be in full power. You know, the laser beams are charged. He's got Gronk back too. There are just so many weapons that the Patriots can use. They're going to be at home in Foxborough too.
Yep.
It's just all the signs point to a Patriots win. But I do like Cincinnati. I think it's not going to be a blowout. I think it'll be a decent game to watch, but I think in the end, the Patriots at home, you can't go against them. They should be able to win this.
Yeah, Patriots at home with a fired up Brady. I mean, especially after the Bengals dropped one to the Cowboys. You know, it's the Bengals have been having a tough year this year. I don't know what it is.
They don't have Tyler Effort.
Yeah, that hurts. Could be it. That could be it. You're right. I mean, you know, on paper, they have a top 10 offense, 11th ranked defense. They should be good, but for whatever reason, they're struggling. So I think the Patriots are going to prey on that struggling Bengals team, especially now that they got Brady back at the helm.
All you have to do is just block A.J. Green. If you contain A.J. Green, you're good.
Yeah, and the Patriots are, you know, they can do anything. I love the Patriots. I'm going with the Patriots.
Hey, take it easy over there. Don't you say love the Patriots.
I've long been a weird sort of not Patriots fan, but I've respected what they do on the football field.
All right, why don't you just become Darth Vader to Bill Belichick's Palpatine?
Darth Vader's awesome, so I might do that. I already have a cough tonight, so I'm like right there with the breathing problems.
Yeah, let me get you a scuba tank.
Oh, but anyway, let's move on to the next game. It's a division rivalry, the Eagles at Washington Redskins. Rich, can the Eagles bounce back from that terrible loss?
I actually think so. The Redskins, they aren't looking too good. Kirk Cousins is, right now, mediocre at best. I mean, he doesn't put up any sort of confident stats. His lines are very much like one touchdown, one interception. Two touchdowns, one interception. Like, it's nothing like to write home about. So I don't know if this is indicative of the offensive scheming. Is Cousins regressing? Deshaun Jackson, he really hasn't had a good game since like week three.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the Eagles actually could come back. They should be more focused after that loss. That should wake them up that, hey, you know, not every game is a given. And I'm sure Carson Wentz wants to reestablish himself as the premier quarterback in the
NFC
East. Least.
Yeah.
So I could see the Eagles pulling this one off.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, the Redskins have a winning record right now, but they're still the Redskins. The Eagles still, you know, despite what happened this past week, they still have a really tough defense. And if we've learned one thing about Carson Wentz so far in these first couple games, is he usually learns from his mistakes fairly quickly. So I'm looking to see Carson Wentz bounce back. This is crucial for him as a rookie quarterback to see how he can bounce back.
Yeah.
And so far, he's displayed the type of composure and confidence that seasoned veterans have. So I'm expecting him to be able to put the Lions game behind him, go into Washington and say, I know what I did wrong. I'm not going to make those mistakes again. And they're going to execute. They are efficient. They are a very efficient team. They have to limit the mistakes. And I think they're going to do that. I think they're going to beat the Redskins. Our first division win of the season.
Well, it's our first division matchup.
And their first win.
All right, cool.
I know. I realized that their first division win. I'm like, well, it's the only opportunity they've had so far. But moving quickly along, we have the top-ranked offense in the league versus the top-ranked defense in the league. The Atlanta Falcons are traveling to Seattle to face off against the Seahawks. Rich, how do you feel about this one? Will it be offense or defense?
The Falcons team is very explosive, but usually rule of thumb, if a good offense meets a good defense, usually the good defense wins because they can usually at least contain the best offense and let their offense score maybe just one more possession, you know, or the last one to win the game.
Yeah.
So rule of thumb, going with the Seahawks, better defense, they'll be at home. Russell Wilson, well-rested after a bye week, I think they should be able to pull it off.
Yeah, the other thing is that at home in Seattle, especially with an East Coast team going all the way to the West Coast, the Seahawks have a good advantage there. But also, the Falcons' defense has been struggling this season, ranked 26th in the league. So even though they have that top-ranked offense, the Seahawks' offense is not that bad. They're in the top half of the league. So they're going to pick on that weak Falcons defense with the crowd behind them. It's going to be a tough matchup. I'm looking forward to this one to see how these two bird teams fare. But I got to go with the Seahawks as well. You got to pick the home team, an experienced veteran team. They know what they're doing. Got to go with the Seahawks here. And finally, this is I've been looking forward to this one because of the nickname I came up with. We have the Farmer and the Cowman.
Yeah, of course you would.
The Dallas Cowboys are heading to Green Bay to face off against the Packers. You know, the Farmer and the Cowman.
Yep.
You know, the Cowboys, the Cowman, and the Packers, they're like the dairy farmers. Oh, the Farmer and the Cowman should be friends.
I'm going to let you sing it.
Go ahead. The Farmer and the Cowman should be friends. One man likes to push a plow, the other likes to chase a cow, but that's no reason why they can't be friends. So my question is, did you like that? I was like, yeah. Right back to professional.
Good job.
My question is, can the Farmer and the Cowman be friends?
No, this is a football
battle.
That's
right, this is football. So who's going to win, the Farmer or the Cowman? Can the Cowboys do it once again with rookie Dak Prescott, or are the Packers going to be too much for them?
No, Packers are going to be at home. Aaron Rodgers, the Rodgers-Nelson connection is back in premier form. I think they've scored a touchdown. I think Jordy Nelson has scored a touchdown in three out of their four games. So he's on fire right now. They can't stop him. The only hindrance I see is maybe if Eddie Lacy is out. He got hurt in the last game, but I think he's probable as of right now. So I think you're going to see the Packers win this one at home. It's hard to go against them at Lambeau.
This is a tough one because I'm looking at some of the stats, and the Cowboys have the number one ranked run attack in the league. I don't know too much about the Packers' defense, but they're keeping them in games. I think that's the key thing to remember. You know, they helped them eke out a close one against the Giants, of course, last week. You know, at Lambeau Field, this is a really tough one because I picked the Cowboys last week, and I feel like I can't pick them again. I can't like the Cowboys that much. It goes against everything I've known. The Packers have won 3 straight against the Cowboys, though, going back in the history of their previous games. Gotta trust in Rodgers, right?
Yeah.
We got to keep this division close so the Cowboys have to lose.
Okay. There you go. I like that logic.
Right? Come on. They can't go up 5-1. That's not fair.
Just in general, yeah.
Just in general. I know that's like not sound logic, but I don't care. That's okay. What I say. I say Packers.
All right. There you go. That's our Fantastic Four picks for week number 6. I sneezed like 2 times in the middle of that.
I know. Bless you, by the way.
Yeah, you know.
I couldn't stop my analysis.
You know why? I'm allergic to the Cowboys. Yeah. Oh, my God. You were actually about to say they're going to win again? Oh.
Well, I
caused me distress over here.
I picked them against the Bengals, and it killed me. So I'm looking at this game, and I'm like, I can't do that again. It just annoyed me so much that I was wrong about the Eagles game and right about the Cowboys game.
Well, I think you're safe. The Packers at Lambeau.
The Packers are like one of those teams that are always around at the end of the season. You know they're going to win more than they lose more.
Yeah, and you know? they're almost unbeatable at home.
They're very good at home. Good at home.
Right. And Jordy Nelson is back in premier form after he was out last season. So I think you're safe. I think the Packers are going to win that.
Good. They should.
And there you go. That's our sports sampler for this week. A lot of topics that we got to there. But don't go anywhere, because coming up next, we have the entertainment entree. Got some interesting news there. And then the non-fortune cookie odd news. I actually have local stories in the odd news.
Ooh, local stories are always fun.
Yeah. So you're going to want to stick around for that. Don't go anywhere. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A woman who took donated clothes from a relative found $30,000 inside one of the hand-me-downs.
Wow. I never find that type of stuff in my pockets.
In the bag was cash that had been stuffed into envelopes and wrapped in layers of plastic bags. Carol told PhillyBurbs.com, I unwrapped the bag, and there was another bag in another bag in another bag. And that's where she found $30,000.
Wow.
That's like a bag within a bag? Yeah. Within another bag?
You know what that means. Bagception.
Bagception.
I just want to point out, that is incredible security.
Yes.
The more bags you have, the more secure it is.
Yeah, this is at least 3 layers of bags we're talking about.
I don't know how.
We're going 3 bags deep into this operation. And then on top of that, if you lose it, then you're in limb bag.
Oh, man. So, a bag within a bag.
Three bags deep, man. We're serious.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
I gotta get the Crispy Noodle Podcast. I gotta get the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Oh my God. I gotta hit the Crispy Noodle Podcast. They said podcast.
Oh yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. I'm Rich.
I'm Mike.
And we are 2 sexy boys here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah.
And if you've noticed the outro music from the Sports Sampler and this intro music, they're both from the techno band Air, which is one of my favorite groups.
Okay.
I know. Usually if I'm talking about music, I'm usually talking about rap music. Aren't you hip to the rap music?
But yeah, no, usually you're such a big rap fan, definitely.
Yeah. No, but this is some techno music I had coming your way. Air is celebrating their 20th anniversary being a band, which is absolutely astonishing to me because I first listened to Air. I have a good story about this. I have to get this off my chest. Mike is looking at me like, what are you doing?
I have no idea what's happening right now.
I have to get this off my chest. I heard about Air. Not because of the radio, not because of the internet. The internet wasn't around. I mean, dial-up was around, but not really the internet as
count.
We...
That yeah, doesn't count.
Right. Not as we know it today. I heard about Air from a demo CD that came with a music magazine called Launch. Do you remember Launch?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, okay.
Launch okay. Music Magazine?
Yeah, it was a music magazine. And
I didn't like music when I was younger. I like no, no.
I don't like music.
No, no, no. I just didn't know a lot of music when I was younger. It was weird. Like, but anyway, go ahead.
So what they would do is these music magazines, when CDs were a hit.
Now for all the young whippersnappers out there, what are CDs exactly?
Compact disc.
It's like a small vinyl.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? People probably know what a vinyl is now more than they do what a CD.
Possible. Well, no.
Vinyls are coming back.
CDs are still around, though, because they're in cars. No, CD players still in cars.
I guess.
But the purpose, what I'm trying to get is there wasn't internet. So what you did was you subscribed to these music magazines, and in these music magazines had, like, advanced releases of singles that you were going to hear on the radio.
Right.
And that was your way to get
That's
a jump.
So weird.
That was your...
Was it a full song?
Yeah.
Like, it was the full song.
Yeah, and Air, I heard about Air in the Launch CD. They had three songs, Sexy Boy, which I just played.
Okay.
Kelly Watched the Stars.
Great song. That's the only one I know.
You picked up on during the break. And they also had another song called All I Need, which is a great chill song. And I heard those three songs, and I was just like, oh my God, I love this. I love this music. I love the weirdness of it. I love the techno vibe.
So you've been hooked on Air.
I've been hooked on Air, and I went out and I bought Moon Safari afterwards. That was their debut CD.
So what you're saying is the demo disc actually worked.
Yeah, it did. That was how you got introduced to new music.
Now, you see, I had my thing was video game demo discs.
Okay,
they had demo discs,
a similar thing for video games.
Yeah. I didn't know they did demo discs for music though. That's like a totally foreign concept to me.
Not that same. It was the same principle.
I wonder if they had it for like movies. Whether they put like trailers on DVD. I guess DVDs weren't around at the time.
Well, no, but they did it on VHS. Remember, you'd buy a movie and it had like three trailers on it.
Yep.
So I just thought that was funny. That was the first way I got introduced to this band Air, and that was 20 years ago, which is starting to make me feel old. and
you had a music magazine when you were like seven.
Yeah. Well, you know what it was? My sister was listening to music.
Okay.
And I was trying to catch up with whatever she was listening to. She bought that magazine. If I remember correctly, she bought that magazine because it had the advanced copy of Scott Weiland's solo album. Because that was when he did his first split away from Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh, wow. Man, we're getting like a music history lesson over here with Rich from Launch Magazine.
Yeah, if anybody else remembers Launch Magazine, please tweet at me. We'll go over some cool history.
You see, that's great because you had an older sister to introduce you to music. I had my mom and dad. My dad doesn't listen to music. And my mom was like, here, listen to Cher.
Do you believe in life after love?
But I knew the Backstreet Boys, I knew Spice Girls, I knew Cher.
I think I'm gonna have to isolate that clip.
No, please. So my introduction to some music came later in my teens, rather than when I was growing up.
Okay.
So yeah, it was a combination of Les Mis, Cher, and like boy bands and Spice Girls.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with boy bands, all right?
Backstreet Boys, they were real big. Backstreet's back.
All right.
Yeah.
That's how you knew Backstreet Boys was the top. That was
the girls in my grade school would always put on performances of like the Spice Girls songs,
and you would counter with Backstreet Boys.
No, I wouldn't counter with anything. But
yes, you did.
No.
Come on, you're a secret Backstreet Boys fan. Yeah,
I like Backstreet Boys. Look, if somebody is our age and they say they didn't like Backstreet Boys, they're just lying.
Yes,
they are.
Thank
they're lying.
You.
They
thank
are.
You. They're lying.
It's true.
My favorite. What's your favorite Backstreet Boys song? I know what mine is.
Is oh man, I don't know. I always listen to I Want It That Away. Tell me why. Oh no. Yeah, I listen to that one. I'm trying to. I don't know a lot of their. I can't remember a lot of their catalog now. There's Backstreet Back.
Uh-huh.
What else is there? Oh man.
And that makes you larger than life. I love that one.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I also like The Call.
The Call. I don't know that one.
Going to a place nearby. I gotta go. I should have said no. Someone's waiting.
Why are
for
we
me.
Singing Backstreet Boys?
Yeah, what are we doing?
I don't know.
Anyway.
I'm trying to remember the CD that I had. I'm
trying to remember the fondness of late 90s music, apparently. So, there you go.
It was a great time.
It was.
That was a good time. That's what it was, Millennium.
Yeah. That was their second album.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was
a good one.
This is so strange. Yeah, Larger Than Life, I Want It That Way. Yeah.
Show me the meaning of being lonely.
It's actually the third track. I can't believe. That's amazing. I can't believe you just. But yeah.
All right. I think we're embarrassing ourselves
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we are. I'm really embarrassed right now.
Well, you know what? It's appropriate music. It's appropriate for our second segment on the Chris Funeral podcast because we dive into movies, music, and TV and video games in the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
No, she's not. Now, how do you feel about these shocking revelations where Donald Trump said, when you're a star, you can do anything to women?
I get it.
It doesn't bother me. Yeah.
What? I thought you guys would be mad about that one.
No, like, when you're a big star like that, the rules are different. Like, if you've ever been to the Philadelphia Mummers Parade on New Year's, have you ever been to that, Colin Jace?
No, I have not.
You should go. It's terrible. Anyways, a lot of the guys in the Clown Brigade are already drunk, and, you know, like, sometimes they might honk your boob on the way down the street, and, like, I think Trump is just kind of like that, you know?
So he's like a drunk clown on the street?
Yeah, like that.
Men are always going to be gross. Remember when you and me and Patrice punched our way to the front row of the Hooters concert at the Mad Music Center? The guy who blows keyboard pulled me up on my perm and went to town on me like I was his mouth piano.
I think it's called a melodica.
But it's also called two free t-shirts and a ride home, so don't judge me! It was like 4 years ago.
And there you go. That was a clip from Saturday Night Live's Weekend Update where Tina Fey and Jimmy Fallon acted like suburban Philadelphia moms from Delco.
Jimmy Fallon's accent was all over the place.
Yeah, he can't do an accent.
Tina Fey's that. Well, she's from the area.
Yeah, Tina Fey, though, she knows the area.
The Hoogies.
The Hoogies.
You didn't have that part in the clip, but that was a good part. But, no, that was great. Oh, SNL's been on fire the past couple weeks.
Well, they've had a lot of material to work with the election, but...
It writes itself.
I just love the fact that Tina Fey just hit it out of the park.
The Mummers aren't that great. I don't know why. It's like a Philadelphia thing, but it's like...
If you really sit down and think about it, why do we have the Mummers?
I don't know.
It's annoying. They block up traffic all on New Year's Day.
I don't think they're that great. Is that wrong to say? Am I going to get like hate mail now?
Uh-oh, you might.
How dare you?
If you do, send tweets to @MikeyCostanzo. But I just love that clip.
That was a good one.
And specifically, they're from Clifton Heights, which I love. That's like the weirdest part of Delco that they could think of, you know?
Oh, man. Yeah. Every time you see, like, Philadelphia area mentioned in these broadcasts, it's always a good time. Because you know they're going to paint us in such a great light.
Right. So, there you go. I just love that clip from Saturday Night Live.
I liked it.
All right, now let's move on to a nice little weekly segment that we do here where Mike gives you the latest items that you should be aware of in movies, TV, and video games. Folks, it's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
punch the keys, for God's sake.
Yes, punch the keys, for God's sake. Mike has the list of things you should keep an eye out for. What do you have?
I'm going to punch the keys to order a ticket to this movie coming out this week.
Yes. Yes. You're the man now, dog.
I love that Sean Connery imitation you did last week.
That was I had fun doing that.
Yeah, that was good.
It was challenging, but it was good. Go check Flash. It out.
Yes, yes.
Now I'm going to redo the whole thing.
Do the whole segment. Yes. In your Sean Connery voice.
There was a trap. I can't remember.
Yes.
First stop in theaters this week.
Yes. Yes.
This drama starring Kristen Stewart and Laura Dern is coming out. Has a 100 rating on Rotten Tomatoes with an 83 average. It's a story.
Yes. Yes.
You think I'm going to stop? I'm not
going
to stop.
Keep going.
This is happening.
Keep going.
It tells the tale of three intersecting stories of ordinary strong-willed women in the American Northwest as they try to forge their own paths.
Punch the keys, for God's sake.
Next up in television, Chance is coming to Hulu, original series starring Hugh Laurie, based on a psychological thriller novel about a forensic neuropsychiatrist who is...
You're the man now, dog.
Who's drawn into a shady world of mistaken identities, police corruption, and mental illness after he falls for a patient who may have multiple personality disorders.
These are really hard words to say like this. I was wondering
how
long
hell, this
is going to go.
Which puts him in the crosshairs of her abusive spouse.
Yes. Yes.
How does he act? I don't know how he acts like this. Well, obviously he doesn't have to think about it like I do.
In the world of video games, Gears of War 4 is coming to Xbox. All right, this is tiring. It's coming to Xbox One. It's a cover-based shooter.
If you're an Xbox fan, everybody knows about Gears of War. Go check it out. But I'm really excited for the PlayStation 4 release of Rise of the Tomb Raider. It's this hotly anticipated sequel to the Tomb Raider reboot from a few years ago. Of course, the PlayStation release was delayed by a year because Microsoft is greedy and desperate, and they had to pay Square Enix to get a year-long exclusivity contract. But it's finally time for PlayStation 4 fans to get their hands on this one. It's a third-person action adventure, of course, playing as the incredible Lara Croft as she stealthily takes down enemies and solves puzzles in tombs and explores a semi-open world landscape filled with lots of puzzles and enemy encounters and lots of great upgrades for your equipment. I played the first game. It was a lot of fun, a surprise hit for me, so I'm really excited to try this one. That's Rise of the Tomb Raider coming out this week in video games. And that wraps it up
for this week in entertainment.
Yes. Yes. You're the man now, dog.
All right. Thank you very much, Mike.
That puts a strain on your vocal cords.
Yeah, you're right over there. You're going to be able
to
make it through the podcast.
No, I'm good. As I cough up along. No, that was fun.
All right.
We should do that more often.
Well, let's move on to our entertainment topics that we have here. We got two quick ones that we're going to hit real fast. The first one has to do with the new PlayStation VR set, virtual reality.
Yeah.
It's now a thing.
Yes, yes. It's coming out this week. You probably can't go get your own version of it because the pre-orders are selling like hotcakes.
Yeah.
I don't know why people say things sell like hotcakes.
Because hotcakes are delicious.
They are. But PlayStation VR is nothing like a hotcake, of course. It is Sony's exclusive virtual reality unit. It works exclusively with the PlayStation 4. It's also one of the cheapest models on the market at $400. If you have a PlayStation 4 already, you can't beat that price. I think the Oculus Rift, I think it's like $600, and the Vive is, I think, close to $800.
Right.
Now, of course, with the lower price, you're not going to get as crisp of a display as with the Vive or the Oculus Rift. They have much better screen resolution, but you also need a high-end gaming PC for those ones. With the PlayStation VR, you can just, you know, set it up for your PlayStation and be ready to go. And I think that's its biggest selling point. Is that for the 40 to 50 million PlayStation 4 users, they don't have to do anything. They take it out of the box, they plug it in,
and it works.
And you're ready to go. That's the beauty of console gaming. I was going to go try it this weekend, but Best Buy lied to me.
Oh.
They said that they had the display up until 5:30. They were wrong.
No way. I don't believe it.
So I was going to have a full report for you guys about what I thought of it. But unfortunately, because Best Buy are jerks, I didn't get a chance to do that. But
that's all I got to say. It makes me want to puke.
But what we can do, though, it does make me want to puke.
That's not true! So get your facts straight.
That's what you wanted to say to Best Buy.
I did. I said, well, the website said 5:30. Like, well, I say it's 4:30. Okay, fine, whatever.
That's not true! So get your facts straight.
But,
it's been a while since we've played
yeah,
this
I know.
That's not true! So get your facts straight.
I love how passionate he gets.
Yeah.
Almost as passionate as I get about PlayStation VR, because I'm excited for this.
Where are we at in society today?
Well, that's what we're going to talk about in this segment, is what are our hopes and dreams and fears about this new technology? Where do we see it going? I got to tell you, I've been desperately texting Taco Bell to try and win a PlayStation VR.
Yeah, you really want this.
Because I'm really excited. I don't have the cash to buy it on my own, but if I can win one, I would love it. Because I'm excited at the possibilities and everything I've read so far. You know, I'm checking out the Metacritic scores, and a lot of big publications are giving it great reviews. IGN, Game Informer, Ars Technica, CNET, they're all giving it very positive reviews. Digital Trends, I'm just going down the list, Engadget, all giving it mid to high 80s for being easy to set up, for having fun exclusive experiences. But I'm excited about the different applications, right? Because it'll be exciting to play games in VR, but what I'm really excited about is the other entertainment features that it can have, right? So this is something that people really haven't talked about with VR, is if you stop and draw the line at video games, you're not really considering all the other opportunities that are out there. For instance, one of the things that popped into my head when I think VR is they could do like live events with VR, right? This is something that I've heard mentioned in a couple different blogs, a couple different podcasts, is you know, at E3, if they set up like a 360 camera, people can virtually attend the E3 conferences by putting on the headset and being there in the front row. And I'm just thinking it, you know, if they give that example, what's to stop them from doing this at concerts, at sporting events, where if you don't have the opportunity to go to these things in real life, you can, you know, pay a little bit and have the virtual experience where you can be sitting there in the stands and sort of get the live experience without leaving the comfort of your living room. So I'm starting to think of all the extra applications that they can have for VR, where it can be a fixture in the entertainment industry, you know, outside of just video games.
Okay.
What do you think about that? Have you given much thought to VR?
The first thing I hate to say it. I hate to say it, but the first thing I think of when I hear the possibilities of VR,
yeah,
is I think I know
where you're going with this.
It's gotta be the porn scene.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed, it was erotic.
And I know I'm trying to be serious about this, because it's actually documented in news sources that a lot of porn companies are pouring heavy money into VR
to make it immersive.
Yeah,
you know,
you might laugh at me, but I think it's reasonable to say that I think the top three uses of using a VR headset, I think top three, one of them is going to be porn.
You know what? You say it half jokingly, but I can tell that you.
I think it's a top three.
But here's the thing, VHS and DVD were both successful formats because, do you know why? The porn industry made use of them.
Yeah, there you go. Right.
Right. I don't know if you knew that, but the reason why DVD became so widespread and so popular is because the porn industry pushed into it.
Right.
Same thing with VHS, why it won out over Betamax. People forget, the porn industry is huge. There's nothing we won't do
yeah.
for a good pair of tits.
Mike!
I know. Now I sound like Donald Trump.
No, you can't say.
Oh, I can't say that?
No.
Why can't I say
I know.
That? Wait, are you serious?
Yep.
I can't say that.
Nope. Yep, George Carlin.
Stupid FCC.
Yep.
So I have to say boobs?
Yep, you have to say boobs.
What's the difference between the T word and boobs?
I know, there shouldn't be anything.
That's stupid.
Exactly.
Anyway, now
stupid,
I'm completely different.
Stupid clean rating on iTunes.
FCC. bastards. But anyway, yeah, there's nothing people won't do for boobs. So I think in terms of pushing the format, I think you're absolutely right. I think if porn jumps into this, and I know porn is jumping into this because I read articles about porn jumping into this and making a big push into it, no pun intended, but I think that could be another driving factor. You know, you have the video games, you have the live events, you have the porn industry. As strange as it sounds, that will be a huge driving force. But think about, like, to bring this back to the more serious, think about, like, nature documentaries, right? You can go explore the
you
oceans.
Just said, wait, back the truck up. You said to bring it on a more serious note, nature documentaries.
What?
As opposed to porn.
What?
I guarantee you more people are going to use it for porn than for nature documentaries.
I agree. I'm just trying to give examples of the plethora of options people will have at their disposal. Think about how much fun that'll be. You're watching some undersea adventure and you're like, I feel like some porn. And you just swap over and it's like you get the best of both worlds.
Oh, does a mermaid come out? Is that what you're thinking?
Oh, that could be interesting.
All right, there you go.
Now my mind is going to dirty places.
Okay, Mike.
Anyway.
All right, bring it back. All right,
I wanted to make this a serious topic, and we made it about porn.
I'm actually trying. I know it sounds stupid. I think it's going to be a legitimate point. I think the porno industry is actually going to help drive this.
It probably will.
I've read news articles in research, I swear.
Research, yes.
Yes.
Extensive research.
Yes. That the porn industry is doubling down in VR.
They are. Because here's the thing, and we played the clip, I think, a few weeks ago when we talked about the release of the PlayStation 4K. People are annoyed because the PlayStation, not the PlayStation 4K, the PlayStation 4 Pro, because it doesn't change the way we play games. It doesn't evolve the format. It doesn't push entertainment forward.
No, it's pure graphics.
Right, but VR does.
Right, you can change the game.
This is like adding color and sound to motion pictures. Right, it's a new way to experience things. So that's my biggest hope and dream for this new technology is that maybe not this first one. Maybe this is still, you know, they're learning the way. You're gonna have a lot of really gimmicky games, but 2 years from now when they release the PS VR 2, that is when we're going to see a huge push into all these extra entertainment forms. I think then you're really going to see the true growth and potential of the system. And that's what I'm excited for, the second wave of it. Yeah, if I had the money, I would probably jump on the bandwagon. I feel that certain about the success of this. Just from what I've read and what I've watched and what I've heard other people say, it sounds like that's the direction it's going. It seems like one of those cutting edge technologies, more so than 3D. You know, when 3D was a thing, people were always vocal against it. I haven't really seen people be vocal against VR because it's so exciting and so new and so different.
Yeah, and it seems like that's the way of the future.
It is, because it adds an extra element of depth. It's not superficial stuff like 3D. 3D doesn't change the way we experience the entertainment. VR will, right? We'll be there. You won't just have things fly at you out of the screen. You will be there in whatever you're partaking in, whether it's a video game, live events, porn,
yeah, whatever,
nature documentaries.
But there you go. A brave new world with the launch of the PlayStation VR. Could be the break that VR needs to get into the mainstream.
I hope so.
One more quick topic that I want to get to in the entertainment entree is a little bit of news from my favorite franchise, the James Bond franchise. Oh, yeah. Anytime there's Bond news, I have to let you guys know about it.
Oh, boy.
Speaking of Sean Connery.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't make me break out the Sean Connery again.
Oh, why not?
Because it takes a toll on my vocal cords.
Okay.
But, yeah, there's some news in the James Bond world. Why don't you tell us? You're a big Bond fan over there.
Yeah, it actually has to do with Daniel Craig. Apparently, he's pulling a big 180 on us here in the Bond fandom.
Yeah.
Because we're all curious as to the future of Bond.
Well, previously, didn't he say something like he hated working on Spectre? I think he said something like he wanted to slit his wrists. Or something crazy like that.
Yeah, he specifically said, I would rather slit my wrist than do another James Bond movie.
Really? Wow.
But that interview was right after he had finished shooting Spectre. And okay. I think the toll of him doing Spectre and Skyfall back to back.
They came out like what, like 2 years apart? Like,
yeah,
it
which
was a
is
a very quick turnaround.
Which is really quick considering all the stunts that they do now with Bond. They're
right.
Crazy.
And does he do a lot of his own stunts? I think he does some of his own stunts.
He does most of them, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think he does all of them, but I think he does
most of them.
I think between the fact that they were kind of shot back to back, they were shot really the problem with Spectre. The problem with Skyfall was so good when that came out. Sam Mendes did a great job with that movie. Daniel Craig did a great job with that movie. It was such a hit. The movie studios were like, we need another one. You need to keep
this
going.
Turn another one out, yeah.
Yeah, really. You need to keep it going. And I think they rushed too much in the Spectre, and you can kind of see it in the film.
It does. It shows in the quality, I think.
And I think that's what got to Daniel Craig. And then that's when he had the interview right after they got finished shooting Spectre, where he said, I'd rather slit my wrist than do another James Bond.
That's not a good promotion for the movie, is it?
No.
When your lead actor says, I'd rather slit my wrists, the executives are going, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
You know?
But
now he's had a change of heart.
Yeah, but over the weekend, he was on a celebrity panel, and somebody in the crowd asked him during the Q&A, about the next Bond movie. Will he be in it? Or is he leaving? And Daniel Craig came out and basically said, I have not agreed to leave the franchise. And that he said that if he did leave it, he would definitely feel like he was missing out on it, which is a huge 180.
Yeah, that is a huge 180.
Yeah.
He's going from slitting wrists to feeling sad about leaving it.
Yeah.
You know?
My take on it is, personally, I think Daniel Craig just was overwhelmed by the shooting schedule of doing Skyfall and then Spectre within the span of essentially 3 years.
Yeah.
And I think it was just getting to him. I think if the movie studio waits and takes their time...
Well, it seems that they are, so that's a good thing.
And they're patient with Daniel Craig, I think he'll do another movie with them.
I think, personally, is money. I mean,
that too.
Look, James Bond is bigger than it's probably ever been right now.
He would be ridiculous to turn down, he turned down $100 million for two movies or something like that?
I don't know the exact numbers, but I would have to imagine that James Bond is bringing in more money, that it's making, that the lead actors are getting paid more money than any other Bond in the history of 007. I feel safe in saying that. It is so popular right now, more popular than it ever has been. It's everywhere. And you have Daniel Craig to thank for that, you know, because he comes out, he does those two movies. I can't remember.
The rumor was $150 million for two more films.
That's insane. That is like...
And he turned it down, allegedly.
Well, maybe he's not actually turning it down.
Well, yeah.
Not now. So do you think he would sign another 2-year contract?
I think he wants to do one more film. I think that's his goal. Yeah.
So he's trying to not restructure, but he's trying to get a one movie deal.
Yeah. I think that's his goal.
I think from a studio perspective, that's going to be tough to try and get a one movie deal done.
Right.
Cuz the studio is going to say, "No. We need at least two movies."
Yeah.
You know, because they recognize how popular, how iconic Daniel Craig is right now to that franchise. So for them to say, okay, one more movie, I don't think the studio is going to go for that. They're going to try and push for that second movie. I don't know if they're going to get it or not, but I can't see them giving up something like Daniel Craig that easily. But I think it's safe to say he'll come back for another one.
But would you be willing to let him walk out if he just said, no, I'm only doing one more movie, period. That's it.
You got to find a new Bond, though.
Right. That's going to be a hell of a task.
You have a proven Bond, so I guess if push comes to shove, one is better than none.
Right. I think that's the attitude you have to have.
But I think Daniel Craig, I think the movie studios have more leverage because Daniel Craig has made this change, not them. He's the one that went from slitting his wrists to wanting to be part of it again. So if I were a Hollywood executive, I would recognize the fact that he does want to be a part of it, and he wants the money, and I'm going to use that to my advantage to try and get him into a second movie.
But But if Daniel Craig says it's one or none, would you let him walk out?
That's a tough one. If it's one or none, if I can't get him to budge for the second one, I guess I would have to say okay to the one. At least that way we know we can start looking for the next James Bond straight away.
Yeah.
You know? But I think those executives are going to really push for two. It'll be interesting to see how many more Bond films he ends up doing. Because what's the record? Is it six?
The record is seven.
No.
I think.
Is that the including...
That's Roger Moore.
Roger Moore. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because you were telling me a story once where Sean Connery did, like, an unofficial Bond.
Yeah, Sean Connery did six, but seven if you include non-official Bond movies.
Okay, so who was the other guy that did
Roger
seven?
Roger Moore.
Roger Moore did seven.
He did seven.
So it's not unprecedented. Actors have done six or seven
right
movies.
Right now, he's tied with Pierce Brosnan. They both did four. Yeah.
I could see them trying to get six out of him. Because I think...
He would tie Sean Connery. Sean Connery did six official ones.
Well, I mean, I don't know much about Bond, but I think other than Sean Connery, Daniel Craig is probably the most well-known Bond right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's second best Bond.
So here's the thing. I've watched like zero James Bond movies except for one really bad. I think I watched the unofficial Sean Connery one.
Probably.
And what was it called? Do you remember what it was called?
What?
The unofficial Sean Connery one.
Oh, Never Say Never Again.
Yep, that was the one I saw. And
that's the unofficial one.
Yeah, and
good job.
And
you saw the one.
I saw the one that doesn't count.
That doesn't count.
But I have seen the Daniel Craig ones.
Okay.
So it's pulling in people that aren't Bond fans. I think it's bigger than it's ever been.
So why would you let him walk away for no films if he's willing to do one?
Yeah, I think he has the chance to become one of the most well-known Bonds in the history of James Bond.
I think so, too. So, there you go. Interesting news coming out of the Bond world there. Daniel Craig pulling a 180.
It'll be interesting to see what he ends up doing. So,
I hope he stays for one more movie.
All you James Bond fans, stay tuned.
Yeah, because things could get interesting in the next couple of months. All right. Now we're going to switch gears, and we are going to do a quick little side dish. Side dish.
All right.
So the side dish is essentially a random news topic that doesn't fit into sports, entertainment, or odd news.
Yeah. In the intro, when Rich says, you know, we talk about sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like, this is the whatever else we feel like. This is one of those times where one of us finds something random that we just want to bring up, share with everyone. And this week, Rich has something to share. I don't know anything about this. I don't know where to begin. Why don't you tell us what are you so eager to share with everyone?
So you know how sometimes you're browsing on the internet and one thing leads to another and you're just like, how the hell did I get from A to B to C to D to E to F to
sort of like this podcast.
Yeah. And then and then you look from everything, you're like, how did I get from A to G?
Yeah. Yeah. You like link through YouTube and just it takes you down the rabbit hole.
Well, I got one for you.
Okay.
I went from Donald Trump.
Okay.
All the way to this wacky song called Rasputin. And I think you guys need to hear the tale of Rasputin. And maybe, Mike, you'll take a guess on how I got from Donald Trump to this.
Okay.
So are you ready to hear this crazy disco song? It's disco.
Disco, a disco song about Rasputin.
About Rasputin, yeah.
The historical Russian figure.
Yes.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Sure.
Here we go. Get ready.
Right.
Are you pumped up after this?
I'm loving this. This is great. I never thought I'd hear a song about Rasputin. Oh, they call him Rasputin.
Yeah, Rasputin.
Lover of the Russian queen.
So would you like to guess how the hell I got from Donald Trump to this? Do you have any idea? Would you like to take a stab?
Oh my God, I have no idea. I assume you were looking at Trump, and probably Russia came up somewhere in there, because they've been making a lot of connections between Trump and Russia. And so that probably led you to Rasputin somehow. See, that's the part where I lose it. Like how are you researching Trump? And you're like, oh, Russia, of course. And then you're like, oh, early 20th century historical figure. You're like, I don't know how you make that jump and then to this song from that point.
Okay, so here we go. This is how I got there.
Are you going to spin us a yarn?
Okay, so the debates were on this week.
Right.
I wanted to find out more information about the debates.
Of course.
So actually, wait, take a step back. I actually was researching the debates.
Okay, so you were doing what every good American should. You
right.
were researching the debates.
Right. Which then led me to one of the candidates.
Of course.
Donald Trump.
Of course.
Reading some things about Donald Trump. Criticisms of him being tied with Russia.
There's Russia. Okay.
So there's the Russia tied in.
That's step two.
But now here's where things get crazy. This is where I don't think you'd ever come up with this in a million years. All right. So I'm researching Russia. Then I jumped to Vladimir Putin.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's a logical step.
Then I jumped to invasion of Crimea.
Okay.
Because obviously I want to know what's going on in Crimea. I have very important business going on in Crimea.
Of course.
Obviously. Then news headlines about the legal proceedings about Crimea.
Okay.
Which then led me to an attorney for Crimea, Natalia Poklaskaya. there you go.
Poklaskaya. Poke the sky. Natalia Poke the sky.
Natalia Poklaskaya,
okay.
Who is an attorney.
I'm trying to look her up. I can't spell this name. Poklaskaya. Oh, my gosh.
Assistant district attorney, more specifically for Crimea.
Okay.
And here's where the story gets further weird. So she gave a disposition on the legality of the invasion of Crimea.
Right.
And defended Crimea. She was so popular online, she went viral.
Okay.
But specifically...
The Assistant Attorney General for Crimea.
Yes.
The internet is into weird things.
Yes.
VR porn and the Assistant Attorney General
Wait
of Crimea.
Wait until the game comes out.
What?
Wait till a game comes out about her.
okay.
But she was very popular specifically in Japan because Japanese anime fans saw her as a perfect art form for anime because she has big eyes and she was seen as a very heroic figure.
She does have big eyes.
In a loving way. I'm trying to... ugly. No, she's very beautiful.
No, she's actually... This is what their politicians look like in Crimea?
Yeah.
Oh my God, we have Trump and Hillary?
What the hell's going on?
Something's not right here.
Can we do a trade?
Can we do it? We'll give you one Trump if you give us Natalia Poklaskaya. Oh my God. Poklaskaya.
Yes. And then I was curious about that. So then I watched anime of Natalia Poklaskaya giving a...
An anime of this?
Yes. Giving her heroic disposition on how Russia was wrong about invading Crimea. And one of those anime videos had the Rasputin song as the background music. I then pulled out my SoundHound app and discovered the song.
Wow.
So let's recap. I went from the 2016 presidential debate and somehow ended up with the Rasputin song from 1978, a disco song about Rasputin. And in the middle, I came across Natalia Poklaskaya.
So there's like 8 distinct steps. I wrote them down.
Yeah, you did?
I wrote them down. You went, let's count. Ready, everyone? Trump to Russia.
Actually, the debate should be debate
Oh,
first.
Debates and then Trump.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, sorry. This chain's getting even longer and more complex. The debates to Trump to Russia to Putin to Crimea to the news headlines about the legal proceedings about Crimea. Rich.
Because I'm a lawyer in my night job,
yeah,
you know.
This is what he spends his weekends doing, researching the legal proceedings of Crimea. Ah, yes, I see. Subsection 8. Of course.
Yes.
Then the assistant attorney general, Natalia, the whatever her, the hot
Poklonskaya.
The hot one, the Poklonskaya, Japanese anime, to the background song, and then you find it finally on SoundHound that it is Rasputin. That's 10 distinct steps.
And there you go. Thanks to that, I now know the Rasputin song from 1978 disco scene. Rasputin, lover of the Russian queen. They put some poison into his wine. Rasputin, Russia's greatest love machine. He drank it all and said, I've been fine. So I don't know. Am I the only person that does this?
Yes, you are. I can say without a doubt you're the only person. I don't think, you know, on Reddit, we're like, does anyone else? No, literally no one. No other person. So that's how you got from debates to a disco song about a historical Russian figure from the early 1900s.
Right. There you go.
Was it the early 1900s?
For Rasputin?
I think it was.
Yeah, because he was around for the last czar.
Yeah.
I remember
assassinated in 1916. Yeah.
There you go.
I remember my history.
Yeah. We could be on Jeopardy.
I don't know.
Yeah. If one of the categories is obscure disco songs.
Obscure disco songs.
I'm in. I'm ready for it. So I figured, I don't know. I just had to get off my chest.
That was a very strange journey, but I'm glad we went on it.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
Because, like, I don't know. There's just something really, I don't know, compelling and satisfying about going on this journey and discovering how you get from debates to Rasputin.
Okay, good. I feel justified that I got that off my chest.
But you're still the only one. You're the only one that has ever made that jump. You ever played that Wikipedia game?
Yeah, I felt like that. I was playing the Wikipedia game where you jump from...
This is like expert level of Wikipedia linking.
Okay. Well, there you go. Apparently, that's my special ability. I can jump from random topic to random topic.
It also proves what I said last week about you being able to find a clip about anything. You found a song about Rasputin.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody else could have done that except for you.
Thank you. So there you go. With that in mind, we will conclude the entertainment entree and the side dish. But don't go anywhere, because coming up next, I've got your odd news in the non-fortune cookie odd news. Don't go away. Enjoy more Rasputin. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
Two people were arrested after a large brawl at a Chuck E. Cheese restaurant in Chicago.
Wait, are you redoing a story?
No.
Are you serious?
Yes.
It happened again? God damn it! What are these people doing at Chuck E. Cheese? Okay.
30 people were involved in this
30
brawl.
30 people? Are we going to have to keep tally? This is a new record.
Two adults were arrested in the scuffle.
Only two?
Yep. They were
30 were fighting and they arrested two.
Yes.
Where was this?
Good job, police.
Chicago?
Yeah, Chicago.
Man, they're cracking down over there.
The two adults were charged with a misdemeanor count of battery. And they said...
They started a 30-person brawl. It's just a misdemeanor for battery?
Yeah, why not? The reason? They thought somebody had cut ahead of them in line.
So you gotta beat their ass.
Yep.
You think he's gonna cut in line? He's gonna take the last plastic army man?
No!
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, we're back here on the Chris Moodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler, the entertainment entree, and the crazy Rasputin side dish. By the way, one of the lyrics in that is, That was a cat that really was gone.
Yeah.
I would like that to be written on my grave. I think that would be...
Rip. Rich Lee Big. Yeah. He was a cat that really was gone.
Yeah. So, Mike, do that. Do that for me. Write it down.
I got it.
Put it in your notebook.
I'm making a note of it right now.
All right.
Oh, man.
So, anyway. Epitaphs aside,
yeah.
Let's move on to our last portion of the show, where I regale you with crazy but true odd news that actually happened. Mike loves this segment. You ready for it, Mike?
I'm ready for it.
Let's launch into it. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool. Uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandata bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Pass this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell, right?
Woo! Odd news.
All right, I love this segment. For those of you that might not be familiar with it, in the Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds these weird stories, he keeps them hidden from me, so I've never seen them before. All my reactions are my gut reactions, my genuine reactions to hearing them for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen, you guys don't know what's about to happen, and even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen, because these stories always take us down weird and wacky paths, and I'm ready to dive into it.
All right, let's dive into this first one here. This one's just plain weird. I don't know why this guy decided to do this, but a...
Well, you can say that about anybody in the odd news, but... Yeah,
but this has no purpose. A North Carolina man decided to find a novel way to add value to his 2000 Chevy Blazer. He decided to cover the exterior of the 2000 Blazer with... 51,300 pennies.
Like, okay.
Sure. Why not?
Why? Hold on. 51,000.
300. That comes out to $513 worth of pennies.
You just wasted $500. Like, if somebody bought that car for $500, they could scrape the pennies off and break even. I don't understand what the thinking is behind this. Is that his way of being able to charge more?
Larry Hall of Randolph County, North Carolina, said that his formerly white Blazer turns heads now with a new copper color scheme from the 51,300 pennies. It decorates the surface of what he calls his penny wagon vehicle. So he's making like a tour. Okay. It's the penny wagon tour.
Okay.
He says, quote, I had to put them on one by one, and it took like 7 weeks.
It took like 7 weeks.
I had to use 80 tubes of silicone glue.
Oh, my gosh.
And 3 gallons of fiberglass boat glue.
He wasted so much money on this.
Yes.
Because 500 actual dollars of U.S. currency there, and then plus all the glue... and all the other stuff, all the other materials, and just 7 weeks. Like, all the time and energy.
Yeah. Just why?
You could have saved, like, $700 and who knows, bought a new TV or something.
He says that all the pennies also add significant weight to the truck. He says that... He says that features like the hood and the doors are pretty heavy. You may have to prop it open.
This seems like more of a hassle than anything.
Yeah. Sometimes if you slam the doors real hard, the pennies come off, but I have a little glue kit that I keep on me all the time, just put them back on there.
And this is just to make it look better?
I guess. Like, he loves pennies? I don't know.
This is just, I don't know. People just have weird obsessions.
Yep.
This is just weird.
He says that he enjoys gluing pennies onto the car, and he says that he has no plans of selling it in the immediate future. So I guess he's actually going full blown with the penny wagon.
Sure, why not? I don't get it, but maybe, you know, this is like a hobby.
What kind of hobby is this?
Just a really weird, stupid hobby.
Is this going to be a thing now? Am I going to find, like, 3 weeks from now, like, a nickel wagon?
A nickel wagon?
Yeah. Like, what's...
A quarter mobile?
What's the logical limit? If this guy's going to get away with pennies, yeah.
I think quarters is the most you could do.
Yeah, because then you're talking about
without
serious
being
money.
Really stupid. That's $500 attached to that car.
Yeah, literally.
If you're a criminal, you don't even need to break into the car. just bring an ice scraper.
Yeah,
and just go to town.
Get it off.
Yeah, an ice scraper and a hammer. You just made $500.
Or just slam the door a couple of times.
Or just slam the door. Yeah,
that's all you got to do.
You get into a fender bender and you're like down there on the asphalt scraping up the pennies.
Oh my god, yeah, just crash into it.
Yeah, oh yeah, just, yeah, it's so simple, just crash.
Oh my god, yeah, why doesn't anybody do this?
I love the way that you react to it. Like, oh yeah, just crash into it.
Yeah,
I've never heard anyone advocate getting into a car accident as much as you did right there.
Well, if you want to take some of the pennies, that'll do it.
Yeah, you know, just make sure you hit them hard enough to knock off enough of them,
yes,
to cover the cost of repairs.
Go full steam ahead, 80 miles per hour, right in the back of the Chevy Blazer.
Like you're in a residential road, you just slam into them at like 80. Oh my god!
Are you okay? Good. Stay there. I got to collect the pennies.
Yeah,
but yeah, apparently it's a thing in North Carolina. Gluing money to your car.
How much free time do you have on your hands?
Yeah, he says it took 7 weeks.
You're sitting there at home, and first off, where did you even get the pennies from?
This guy could not have been married. There's no way.
No.
There is no way a wife would have allowed this.
Like, exactly. You're just sitting there on the weekend and you're just like, you know, I'm going to go glue.
I want to go glue pennies to my car, honey. I'll be right back.
Glue a couple thousand pennies to my car. Make it all shiny. It doesn't make sense because pennies weather poorly and it's going to turn green in a couple weeks.
Yeah, right? Because isn't it made out of zinc?
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to be copper, but it's really zinc.
Right.
So I think it turns green.
Oof.
Well, I mean, everybody's seen one of those green pennies, you know?
Yeah, nobody picks them up.
Yeah, no. They get left on the side of the road.
They're like diseased pennies.
Yeah. Well, you know, you pick, it's supposed to be like this golden color, and you see a green penny, you're like, yo, what did you catch?
Whoa, that penny's too loose. Yeah. He was having some fun.
Real cheap. But no, in all seriousness...
Lincoln, you use protection.
Always use protection.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Put the top hat on.
I know it's something to do with sex.
All right. Yeah.
I want to know where he got the pennies.
Well, you can just do that at the bank.
So he went in and he said, give me $500 worth of pennies.
Well, you could probably... Yeah, why not? A bank would have pennies.
That's just stupid.
I mean, that's not part of the problem. I don't see
why.
Yes,
it is!
What? You can get pennies.
$500 worth?
Probably. Maybe you'd have to deal with an increments or something. Maybe like 100 here, 100 at a grocery store.
So he did it in 7 weeks.
Yeah, he said it took 7 weeks.
7 weeks. Okay. So let's divide 51,000 by 7. That means he needs to get like $7,300 a week.
Okay, that's only $73. So go to a bank.
Right, but no, $7,300 pennies a week.
Right, so you go to the bank here, there, make 7 different trips to banks.
So it's insane. If you were going once a day, you would have to be getting 1,000 pennies a day.
That's only $10 of pennies.
Yeah, but 1,000 pennies, Rich.
Well, it's North Carolina. They got empty cans just here.
Cans.
Put it in the.
You can put 1,000 pennies in a can.
I got 10 cans.
10 cans.
Put it all in my Chevy Blazer. It's all good.
Well, he does. You said it was a truck, right?
Yeah, it's a Chevy Blazer. Yeah.
There you go. He'll just pull it up to the back of the bank.
He did it all through the drive-through.
All through the drive-through.
God damn it. That would suck. You get sucked behind. You get stuck behind him.
You're just sitting there like, oh my God, why? You pull the change out of your pocket. You're like, here's some extra. Get the hell out of here.
God damn it. Pull up. Pull up.
Pull up. Yeah. Oh,
there
man.
You go. The next time you're stuck in a bank drive-through, it's probably one of these ass hats.
Nice save. Yeah. That was a pro-level save right there.
Yeah, thank you.
Ass hats. Well, it's better than my flubbing with not using the right term for boobs. But anyway.
All right. Ready to move on to the next story here?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Let's get to local news.
Oh, boy. Local news.
Going?
How local? Right around the corner.
Let's see. We got – actually, I got two local stories. I got one.
Oh, wow.
I got one in Bethlehem and one in Bucks County. Which one which one should I go with?
I don't know. That's a tough one. Let's go with Bethlehem first. Let's save Bucks County. So I think Bucks County is a little closer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bethlehem PA patrolman Glenn C. Woolard ended his night shift and was driving home Wednesday morning when he decided to pull down his basketball shorts and expose himself.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
You make it sound like he's stopping for coffee. It's just part of his night.
Yeah. It's 5 in the morning.
Five in the morning. Time to pull down the basketball shorts. Yep. Hey, how you doing, honey?
I got
to
air it out.
It's been a long shift. It's getting a little, that's gross. That's gross, Rich. Ew.
Gotta
air it out. Did you say this was a cop?
A woman in a box truck was driving next to
a box truck.
A box truck. It's got the box on the back of the truck.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, box truck. A woman in a box truck was driving next to Woolard's sedan as they both went south on Hamilton Boulevard in Lower McGunkey Township and was shocked.
McGunkey. That's what it gets when you don't air it out. That's a little McGunkey funky.
McGunkey. Excuse me, I got the McGunkeys.
I got the McGunkeys.
Oh, my God. That is so nasty.
That is really nasty.
Wow.
McGunkey. How do you spell that?
That's a technical term.
Is that a medical term? McGunkey.
Yeah.
You go to the doctor. Well, sir, it looks like you got a case of the McGunkeys.
You need to air it out.
You need to air it out at least once a day.
Around 5 o'clock.
Around 5 o'clock. And make sure people are watching. And the McGunkeys go away if people are observing it.
Well, that's when the woman was shocked at what she saw. She told state troopers who took her report that, quote, he whipped it out and waved it around and fondled himself.
I know it's something to do with sex.
I love that he waved it around. What the hell does that mean? Does he literally like...
Like a lasso.
Oh, okay. That helps with the McGunkies, you know?
Look, you really got to air it out. You got to air dry it.
You got to massage it.
Massage it. Got to massage the McGunkies out.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
I'm not, God, that's so gross. It's like, you don't even know. You don't know what it is. But you know that
it sounds bad.
It just sounds, it's one of those words where it doesn't mean anything, but it sounds terrible. Like, if you told somebody you had the McGunkies, they're like, whoa, don't touch my kids.
My McGunkies acting up tonight.
My McGunky.
Oof. Excuse me.
It's so gross.
Well,
that's a county in PA?
Yeah.
Okay.
The woman gave the sedan's license plate number to police who went to Woolard's nearby house. At first, Woolard absolutely denied the accusation, but then he confessed. The 35-year-old patrolman admitted that he exposed himself and that he also did it a week earlier in the parking lot of the local Target store, where a woman had said that the man had his window rolled down and, quote, he wanted to be seen.
Okay.
In his defense, Woolard allegedly told the trooper that, quote, "I'm not doing it for sexual gratification. I'm doing it because I want to stay awake when I drive home."
What? No! This is...
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Yeah, you know how that happens. You know,
yeah, you know,
you get sleepy on the road.
Sometimes I get tired.
You whip it out.
Whip it out. Air out the McGunkies.
That wakes you up.
Wakes you right up. That was the best he could come up with.
Yes.
And you said this guy's a police guy, right?
Yeah, he's a patrolman.
Patrolman. So he's heard dumb excuses before.
And that's the best
and
one he could come up with.
And this is the best he could come up with.
Yep.
He wants to stay awake.
Yeah.
So he pulls down his pants.
You know, there's three ways to stay awake on a late night drive. You eat, you drink coffee, and you take care of your McGunkies.
I want that to be a euphemism from now on of people that expose themselves. Taking care of your McGunkies. It adds a little bit of class to it.
Right.
You know?
It's not just...
They're people too, Rich.
Right. It's not he whipped out his penis. It's...
Yeah, no, he's airing out his McGunkies.
He took care of his McGunkies.
Yeah. Took care of his McGunkies.
Yeah. It's almost admirable.
It's almost admirable.
He took care of it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a very noble thing to do.
It's not for sexual gratification.
No.
He says it
he's
right
he's not
here.
One of those perverts.
Right.
God.
He told the trooper, it's not for sexual gratification. No. I just have to stay awake on the drive home.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Authorities announced that Woolard, who was actually commended by Bethlehem police for rushing to a burning home to save a life last month, has now been suspended and charged with two counts of indecent exposure and disorderly conduct. He was off duty in the incidents and was not in uniform and was in his personal vehicle.
Does that matter?
No. He was still suspended after Wednesday's incident and will face further disciplinary action, which could include dismissal.
I think that's unconstitutional to fire him for a health reason.
Yeah, because
he's got a case of the McGunkies.
He's got a case of the McGunkies. That's very important.
He's got to take care of it.
Right.
The doctor said...
The man's a hero, for Christ's sakes. He went to a burning building.
That's why he got the McGunkies.
Yeah. Some flame went up very close there. All right, how about the other Philadelphia...
The McGunkies.
The case of the McGunkies, man. It can strike anyone at any time.
Oh, boy.
All right, how about the other Pennsylvania story? You ready for this?
Yeah, what do we got? All this right. One's in Bucks County, you said.
Yeah, this one's in Bucks County, and this one's a little more scarier. A pair of Pennsylvania exterminators have said that they responded to an unusual call from a resident. Holly and Buddy Mullen of A1 Exterminators said that they were called to a home in Warminster Township in Bucks County. That's not that far.
Far at all.
Yeah, this is
pretty
close.
That's like literally around the corner.
They were called there after a 22-year-old resident was stung. They investigated the insect that stung him, and they found out that it was actually a scorpion.
What?
That returned with him in his backpack from a trip to St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
This is why I don't like to leave Pennsylvania. Because you bring back weird stuff like that.
Buddy Mullen tells the press that, quote, the 22-year-old reached into his computer backpack. He reached in to get his computer, and something bit him.
Oh, man.
The insect then disappeared into the man's bedroom, where we conducted our research.
Then he burned the house down, right?
Yeah, after something like
That I've read online that that's what you do, is if you see a spider or any type of bug, you burn your house down and just start over.
Get the flamethrower.
Get the flamethrower, yeah.
We did research in his bedroom. We started pulling everything apart. We flipped the sheets, and that's where we found the scorpion and captured it.
So, did the guy see that it was a scorpion and was like, oh my God.
That's a scorpion.
That's a scorpion.
Exactly.
Okay. So, the guys knew what they were expecting when they went in there. That's terrifying, though.
Well, no, the exterminator, no, they just heard an insect was in the room.
No, I thought you said the guy knew it was a scorpion.
No.
Or he just...
The victim did not know.
The victim just was, it was a mystery bug.
Right, he didn't know.
Oh my gosh. What if he just thought it was like a regular bug bite?
Yeah.
And he was like, it's no big deal. And scorpion was still in his bed or his room or wherever they found it. That's terrifying.
Well, because it was a scorpion bite, the two exterminators rushed him to Abington Memorial Hospital.
Wow, again. I've been there.
Yeah, this is
I
not,
know
yeah.
that place very well.
This is not that far away.
I know. This is terrifying.
Yeah.
But you see, here's the thing to remember. It's not a native Pennsylvania scorpion.
No.
You know? There's scorpions everywhere in Pennsylvania.
We don't really have scorpions here in Philadelphia.
The scariest thing we have is like I don't know. What is the scariest thing southeastern Pennsylvania has? Deer.
Yeah, they jump in front of your car.
Deer and geese. Scorpions are not something we have to think about.
You and your geese. All right, anyway.
They're a serious threat, Rich.
Only to Cabrini students.
Two all right. people all over the place.
No, only you Cabrini.
They are a terror. Anyway.
Anyway.
Scorpions are almost as bad.
The exterminators say that they suggest that everyone who goes away to islands on vacation where there is poisonous animals, that they should take their stuff home and put a white blanket down and dump your stuff in there. Go through it gently with gloves or a stick and make sure that you do not have any insects in your bags.
What happens if it skitters away?
Then you got to call an exterminator.
Or burn the house
down. Or burn the house down. You could do that too. Now, one more further note is that this is not the first time a scorpion has been found in 2016. Apparently, last month, a worker at a Philadelphia grocery store was also treated for a scorpion sting after he was dealing a shipment of bananas from Honduras.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so this is...
not the bananas.
Yeah, no, not the bananas. that's what we've been talking about.
I know.
This whole summer... The banana song, and it could, we might have influenced.
It was such a source of happiness, and now it's basically like a nightmare song.
Want a banana?
No, I don't. Take it away.
Oh no!
Do you want a banana? This banana for you.
Oh my
no,
gosh!
No, take them away. I don't want any more bananas. That's really sad. I really like that song.
A scorpion. Let it sting you and go to the hospital.
Do you want a scorpion?
This scorpion for you.
That's the new song.
There you go.
I like
That's
it.
That's the updated song.
That's the updated song, yeah.
So apparently scorpions are invading the Philadelphia area. This is two
you know,
instances.
Living in this area, you get spoiled. We don't really deal with a lot of crazy weather. Yeah, everything is pretty manageable. There's no earthquakes. There's no bears or wolves or cobras or scary animals, you know? And so when something like this happens, it's like we lose our minds.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't, like, if I saw a scorpion, I would probably just die. I wouldn't know how to react. I'd be like, oh, that's it. I'm done.
Burn the house down.
Burn the house down.
There goes the Crispy Noodle Podcast headquarters.
The worst insect I've ever seen was, like, probably a spider the size of my pinky nail. And I was terrified.
Well,
so if I saw a scorpion, I would. What would you do if you saw a scorpion? I would go crazy.
Run in the other direction
and just not stop running until you collapse.
Yeah. Well, apparently we have to be on the lookout. This is right in the this Berks County, man.
I know
or Bucks County. This was Bucks County.
When you said Warminster, so I was like, that's like right there.
Yeah, this is not far away. So
no, Abington.
Yeah,
hospital.
Scary.
Right there.
Odd news, hitting a little too close to home here at the Christmas
Noodle headquarters. I don't know if I enjoy that. That was really terrifying. Ooh.
Go to sleep.
Why would you say something creepy like that? Go to sleep. You make. Do you have a scorpion for me?
No.
I have one more surprise in the odd news. Scorpion!
I have like a little rope. And like, here's your present, scorpion!
A scorpion on a rope. That's the worst prize ever.
Congratulations.
That's like the Price is Right. It's a showcase. It's a scorpion on a rope. Da-da-da-da. That would be the worst thing ever.
Yes. Oh, you can either win a new car or a brand new scorpion.
Yeah, everybody cheers.
This scorpion comes equipped with its own rope.
This 2016 scorpion has its own double braided rope. And don't forget, this one's extra toxic. It can be yours if the price is right.
Also included is a trip to Abington Memorial Hospital.
All expenses paid. you'll find luxurious double bedrooms where you have to share a TV with that mysterious old man whose affliction you're not quite sure of.
He's got a case of the McGoinks or whatever the hell we said.
McGunkies.
McGunkies, yeah. He's got a case of the McGunkies.
Is it contagious? Is it not? Who knows? Find out if the price is right.
There we go.
Oh, man. You know, that show's really dipped in quality after Drew Carey took over.
Yeah, offering scorpions.
Yeah, they used to give away cruises. Now they're just giving away scorpion stings. Yeah. It's kind of messed
Shame.
Up.
Shame.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Got to keep an eye out here in the local Philadelphia area. Oh. All right.
You can't stop thinking that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't have scorpions for you, Mike.
Oh, shucks.
But what I do have is a return of a couple of Florida odd news stories.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
So Florida took last week off.
Yeah, because of a fake news story.
Yeah, we gave them a pass. They made a mistake. You know, they sent us a fake odd news story. But afterwards, they sent us a follow-up email. They're like, we're sorry. We apologize. We're going to do better next week. Have they done better, Rich? Have they redeemed themselves?
I think they might have. Okay. Because we actually have a return to form.
Okay.
We have an old friend that is going to join us in this next story.
Okay. I'm a little worried now.
Because we're going back to Chuck E. Cheese.
Yes, I do whenever I feel happy. And when I don't feel so happy, all I have to do is my happy dance, and then I feel happy. Put your hands in the air as you jump up and down. Then you bob side to side, then you turn around. Then give yourself a high five. Just give yourself a high five. Then you step really high and stomp your feet on the ground. Then you wiggle like a worm, wiggle all over town. Then give yourself a high five. Just give yourself a high five.
All right, first
what
off.
What the hell was that?
Apparently that's the new Chuck E. Cheese song, which I didn't even know.
Why is it so? They had like a, like this like EDM. They had like a drop there. Like,
great. We're teaching kids EDM when they're five.
Why not? Start them young.
Yeah. But thank you, Chuck E. Cheese dancing
you
mouse,
know,
you son of a bitch.
I have to tell people this because they can't see. But when Rich plays a sound clip, he usually 99.9% of the time, he knows what he's doing. That time, he played it, and there was just this look of, like, shock and awe on his face. Like, I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah.
And you, like, let it play an extra few seconds because I can tell. You wanted to see where this was going to go.
Sure. Chuck E. Cheese doing EDM. Sure. Great.
Is that a real thing?
Yes. That's what they play now in Chuck E. Cheese.
They play that in Chuck E. Cheese?
Yeah, this is the 2016 soundtrack.
So if I go to Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese has a soundtrack.
What's on the soundtrack?
Yes!
What's on the rest of the soundtrack?
I don't want to find out. This is what it starts off with.
Oh, my gosh.
Upside to side, then you turn around, then give yourself a high five.
Give yourself a high five.
That sounds really depressing.
All right.
Give yourself a high five. Do you not have anyone else to high five?
Yeah, just in case you don't have any friends.
So you're just at Chuck E. Cheese by yourself, just eating pizza, dancing with a mouse, playing in the ball pit. That's really depressing.
Well, you know what? This might be the reason why we have an odd news story in
Hold on.
Chuck E. Cheese.
Let me guess. It was a 24-person brawl. But wait, only one person was arrested. Pretty close?
Close.
For people that don't know, we've had like four fights in Chuck E. Cheese.
It always, every now and then it pops up.
It is like a magnet for violent people.
Apparently.
Violent people are like, oh, I have all this rage. Where should I go? I know Chuck E. Cheese. It's because they put out crap like that. That song.
Chuck E. Cheese is usually a place of fun, but that wasn't the case at a Chuck E. Cheese in Miami on Saturday night when several sets of parents got into a massive brawl complete with screaming.
Are you kidding me?
Pushing, shoving, and hair pulling.
Oh, my God. You said seven sets of parents?
Yeah.
So about 14-ish people?
Yep.
Oh, man.
16-year-old Crystal Jimenez captured the melee on her phone, so you can actually watch it if you'd like.
Really? What was the name?
Crystal Jimenez.
Okay.
That's a... She said that one brawler told her that the fighting started because one person was looking at them funny in the photo booth and instigated a problem. Then their respective families got involved and a brawl broke out.
Oh my gosh.
Another witness said that the fight lasted 10 minutes until the cops came, and then all the kids ran away. Did you find it?
I'm watching the video. These people are insane.
There you go.
They're just going crazy. And the kids, I love this video because there's kids like running back and forth in front of the camera. So wait, why were they fighting again? Back up.
Apparently because one person was looking at them funny in the photo booth.
Really?
That's what it says in the Miami Herald. Yes.
One person was looking at them funny.
Yep, in the photo booth.
So it was literally like a, hey, you looking at me?
Yeah.
You looking at me?
In the photo booth.
So were they like spying on them in the photo booth or?
I guess. I don't know.
How does this involve seven sets of parents?
Yeah.
How many people were in the photo booth?
Yeah.
There's like 12 people in the photo booth.
There's only two people that can fit in the photo booth.
So here's the really important question. It either means that there's like 12 people in the photo booth and like one or two people are looking at them. Or there's one or two people in the photo booth and 12 people are looking at them. Or what I think is what happened is that two groups of people started fighting. And because this is Florida, they're like, hey, I want to fight. And they just run over and they don't even care. They don't even care what side they're fighting on. They're just swinging. They're just swinging at people. Is that what happened? Do the families know each other? Or was this just like anarchy?
I think it was anarchy, to be honest with you.
This is so stupid. I can't believe it lasted 10 minutes.
Yep, it lasted 10 minutes until the cops arrived.
I can't believe this is still a thing.
Yep, it's still a thing.
One of our first stories. Wasn't it one of our first stories?
Yep.
When we first started the podcast, it was like one of the
Chuck E. Cheese Brawl.
One of the early episodes. It has to be like in the first 10 episodes, Chuck E. Cheese Brawl.
Yep.
And we're still talking about 180 episodes later. Yep. Still fighting in Chuck E. Cheese's.
Miami police said they are unable to comment because they are reporting on the scene and are waiting for the final piece of the investigation.
That's amazing. Yep. Florida coming back in incredible fashion.
With an old standard, the Chuck E. Cheese Brawl.
You see, they messed up last week. They're like, guys, we got to bring it back.
Yep. What are we going to do?
They met in their weird little odd news shack.
Yeah, what are we going to do?
Nobody had pants on.
Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah, we haven't done that in a while.
All right, boys. We got to come up with something good for this week's odd news. What do we got on the docket? Well, we haven't had fighting a Chuck E. Cheese in a while. That sounds good. How many people can we get on? We got 14. All right, sounds good. Get them 14 people to Chuck E. Cheese and tell them to start fighting. I imagine it's like...
Get in, start fighting immediately.
I imagine that's what it's like. It's like a planning committee. You know, like they have town meetings. All right, what do we got next? All right, who's taking their pants off this week? All right, no, we can't have four people. We can only have one person. Okay, Bob, you take your pants off.
You know who has to be a part of this committee?
Who? Oh, my God, of course!
Buckeye joke.
It goes all the way to the top. All right.
Buckeye joke.
Buckeye, the game is up. The jig is up.
Buckeye joke here.
I know what you've been doing. You've been rigging the odd news all along.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have no say in this here meetings.
You come clean. You better release your odd news forms.
I don't do these odd news meetings that you say. Buckeye joke.
Do you just end every sentence with your name?
Yeah, nobody knows who I am unless I tell them that I'm Buckeye joke. That's what I do. I go around town. I've been a skunk. I've been a squirrel. What have I been before? I've been
a lawyer. Beaver.
A beaver. Yes, I've been a beaver.
I think you started out as a beaver.
Started out as a beaver. But
who
I'm
are Buckeye. You?
I'm
You're
more.
Just like a trans species.
Exactly. I'm morphing to many different things.
So you're saying that you know small woodland creatures?
Yes.
Do you happen to have any association with mice?
Scorpions. I usually do a little bit of scorpions.
A scorpion is not a mouse.
I'm not a biologist. I'm Buckeye Chuck.
Do you know any mice? Oh, I've seen a scorpion. It's like saying to you like pizza, and you're like, well, I literally like to sit on leather couches.
Yep, I'm Buckeye Chuck. This is what I like to do.
This is what you like to do. I still want to know, do you associate with any mice? Do you know Chuck E. Cheese?
No, I've never heard of that individual. I do know other folks in the area.
Such as
Scooby the Mouse. But I do not know Chuck E. Cheese. I'm Bug Eye Chuck here. I hang out in my church bell. That's all I do. Which I absolutely don't have any meetings at.
So you just sit under this church bell thinking about your pal Scooby the Mouse?
Yep. And we have, you know, things that aren't meetings of Odd News for Florida.
So
here.
You're saying you have no connection with the Odd News ring?
Absolutely not. I'm Buckeye Chuck, and I do my own thing. I'm a lawyer, and that's all I do. And I'm also a part-time squirrel and beaver.
What are you? I'm a part-time squirrel and a beaver. It's like your side job. Oh, today I'm a squirrel. You just like grunt and you morph into a squirrel. I'm going to die. Oh, man.
All right. Well, it's
Scooby
good.
The Mouse.
It's a good thing we heard from him. We haven't heard from Buckeye Chuck in a couple of episodes. It's been a while.
I'm so glad we got a chance to catch up
with
our old friend.
Old friend Buckeye Chuck. It's been a while.
Oh, man.
He does a lot, man. He's very busy.
He's a very busy guy, you know.
Very busy.
We had to call his secretary so many times to get that interview set up.
All right. Just very busy.
Hanging out with Scooby the Mouse. Who the hell is Scooby the Mouse?
Apparently he's big in Florida. I don't know.
Yeah. He's the second-rate Chuck E. Cheese, right?
Yeah. All right, I got one more Florida story for you to close out the odd news.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And this one is just funny to imagine. A sweaty woman who reportedly chatted with a pack of cigarettes said that she got locked out of her home. Yes.
So yes. she was chatting to the pack of cigarettes.
Yes, there's a pack of cigarettes.
And she's talking to it.
And she's talking to it.
All right. This is definitely a story from Florida.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Are cigarettes good conversationalists?
Indian River County Sheriff's investigators said that around 11 o'clock last Thursday, police encountered Anna Letus, 46 years old, at the Vero Beach Country Club, after a report of a woman talking with herself all morning was relayed.
That is an awkwardly written sentence.
Yeah, come on, newspapers. I know it's odd news, but come on.
The reporters are drunk now, too.
Yeah. They're like, oh, God. We got a crazy lady talking to cigarettes. Are you kidding me?
First the story about Chuck E. Cheese, and now women talking to cigarettes.
Oh, God. Just give it to Buckeye Chuck.
As he downs a fourth shot, it's like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Just give the story to Buckeye Chuck.
Oh, God. Now he's a reporter, too?
Buckeye Chuck. I do a lot of things. I'm also a reporter.
You're a multi-talented beaver, squirrel, mouse, scorpion
lawyer.
Thing.
Lawyer. Oh, don't forget lawyer.
Lawyer as well,
that's
yeah.
my prestigious job.
Yeah, right. More prestigious than reporting news in Florida.
Right. Anyway, asked what she was doing at the country club, 46-year-old Lita said that she was, quote, practicing for a play.
Okay. I mean, that's plausible.
Why are you doing it at a country club, though?
Who knows? It's nice. I mean, you'd think you could practice somewhere a little more private.
Yeah.
You know?
She was sweating. Her feet were sandy. Her pupils were very constricted, and her eyes were very bloodshot, according to the police report. Lita said that she was in Stewart County. Then she said she was in the city of Jupiter. The deputy noted that
is Jupiter a real city?
Yes.
Okay.
But the deputy noted that she was in fact in Vero Beach, which is at least an hour drive from either of those two locations.
Right.
So she's completely off either way.
Just by a little bit.
Yeah. The deputy asked how she got to Vero Beach. Letus then replied that I'm locked out of my Palm Beach garden home, and I figured I would just drive around.
She just mentioned like four different locations.
Yeah.
So she's in one place, but she thinks she's in two other places, and her house is in a fourth place.
Right. And then she figured, oh, I'll just drive around.
Yeah, just drive an hour in each direction.
Right. Then asked again, what are you doing? She said, I'm practicing for my play.
Of course.
So, all right. Changing motives here, all right?
Yeah.
Changing objectives here. That's when the cop suggested that she get someone to pick her up, but she said that, quote, oh, I can't. All my family's in Canada.
What?
All my friends and family are in Canada.
How the hell did you end up in Florida? Them. All of them. All every single one of them.
I'm very lonely down here.
Yeah. Why aren't you in Canada?
All my family and friends are in Canada.
Every single person I know.
Every single one of them.
Oh, boy.
I didn't want them to see me while I practiced for my play, so I told them to all go to Canada.
Go to Canada. Go to Canada. Take a break. Go to Canada.
The deputy told her not to drive home or she would be arrested. Less than 10 minutes after the cop left the scene,
surprise,
the cop was called back and was told that Letus drove over bushes and onto a golf course.
Don't drive home. Okay. Well, she didn't drive home.
She drove on the golf course.
She drove on the golf course. I think she shouldn't be arrested. I stand by that. Get the great lawyer Buckeye Chuck on the case. I'm sure he can get her off free.
Buckeye Chuck here.
Buckeye Chuck, do you think there's any legal merit to arrest this woman, but she clearly didn't drive home?
Buckeye Chuck here. According to law provisions 2A, 2B, 3C, it says the Florida Code of Law says that golf courses are not public roads, and this woman should be acquitted.
There you go. That was beautifully done, Buckeye Chuck. I know why you're the best trial lawyer in all of Florida.
There you go, man. Buckeye Chuck, he works wonders.
He does. So, what's this woman's name? Buckeye Chuck got her off free.
Annalitas.
Annalitas, okay.
While the cop pulled her over, she took field sobriety exercises and was determined to be drunk, and then she was arrested on a DUI charge. When investigating her purse, they found that she had 6 bottles of prescription medications in her purse.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does she have the McGunchies too? Is that why she had that many prescriptions?
Buckeye Chuck here. My client has a very severe case of the McGunchies.
The McGunchies.
Very
yeah.
severe.
Yeah, you can't try somebody with the McGunchies.
All right. You're lucky she didn't expose her genitalia on the lake hazard.
I know. She was actually putting herself in a serious medical hazardous situation by not exposing her McGunkies.
Yes. So, there you go.
I didn't realize that both men and women could catch the McGunkies.
I guess so.
It's a really dangerous disease, guys. Right. You got to protect yourselves.
Right.
I'm going to die over here today.
All right, there you go, folks. That's what we have for you in this week's non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. But before we officially wrap it up, let's go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
Oh, man. I learned a lot. We basically got like a sex ed class over here. We learned about the McGunkies.
Very important.
Very important. We don't quite know what it is yet. We know it's highly contagious.
Very important.
You have to air it out every once in a while. It's a very serious thing. It's a technical term. Okay?
Yes, very, very technical.
Very technical. The McGunkies.
That's what the experts use.
Yeah. When the doctor's diagnosing you, they say, oh, you got a case of the McGunkies.
Yep. Not a good diagnosis.
No, not a good one. You don't want to hear those scary words. But if you do hear those scary words, just think on the bright side of things and try to think about that amazing, one of the best, one of the strangest disco songs ever created, Rasputin.
Yes.
I didn't know that they made disco songs about early 20th century Russian historical figures.
Why not?
Why not?
That sounds logical to me.
I think it's logical, too. You know what else is logical? Is how you found cocaine. That song. Yes!
Disco. Cocaine. That's all you need to know.
Okay. Did you feel uncomfortable because we went a whole episode without mentioning cocaine?
No, man. Disco, man. In the 70s, that was all cocaine, man. Like,
cocaine?
That's why. You asked the question.
Okay.
The answer is cocaine.
All right. Well, thank you for that illuminating answer.
It's true, you know it.
It's true. You know what else is true? How amazing you are at finding sound clips. Because you found your way from researching the debates to to finding that disco song about Rasputin.
Yep.
And the journey is just as magnificent as the song itself. You went from the debates to Trump to Russia to Putin to Crimea to legal proceedings to Assistant Attorney General Natalia, whatever her name is, to Japanese anime, and then finally to the Rasputin song.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
You should get like a medal or something.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank
boy.
You. I appreciate that.
But again, a lot of this is focused on you, Rich. You're the star here. Apparently, when you die, you want your tombstone to read, "There was a cat who really was gone."
Yes. Make
sure
that
you
do that.
That is important. That's in the last will and testament.
Yep. Put all that right? in there.
Yeah. Put, that's very, very important. And probably, I just learned so much. My mind is like overflowing with knowledge. I learned that Florida made a great return this week, that they hold weekly meetings to determine the odd news, and that one of the people on those meetings could potentially be Buckeye Chuck.
We're not sure. We didn't get a confirmation.
Sure. We need to dig further into his odd news records. But one thing we do know is that he is closely associated with the infamous figure known as Scooby the Mouse.
Yes.
It's not Scooby-Doo.
No.
This is Scooby the Mouse.
Yeah, he's only known in Florida.
That's right. A very lesser-known cousin of Chuck E. Cheese.
Right.
But the connection between him and Buckeye Chuck is very alarming.
Right.
So we will research that.
There you go, folks. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I don't if I know what we did.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sweating over here.
I'm sweating.
I think your guts are hurting.
Oh, man.
I'm all laughing.
I'm laughing so hard. I'm coughing up a lung over here. But it's all worth it for the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right, folks. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you've enjoyed our ramblings in this podcast for this week's episode, check out our past episodes. Check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find video noodles, best bits, interviews, and much more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday morning. You can listen to us at home, on the go, at work, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. And remember to drop us a rating and a review. It really helps. So thank you for that.
As well, we also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles, which are the best bits of the show that we condense into a 1 to 2 minute promotional clip that you can easily share with friends and family. The craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast, guaranteed to make you laugh your ass off.
That's right. Plenty of craziness for everyone.
Yeah.
If you want to get in touch with us individually, though, and share some craziness with us, you can reach us on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters and talk with us directly on there. The internet is a wonderful place.
Yes.
that's what I've learned.
It is a magical, magical place.
Where I can find...
filled with Chuck E. Cheese and McGunkies as far as the eye can see.
And where I can find obscure disco songs.
Yes.
I love the internet. Thank you. Folks, this has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That's going to do it for us for this week. Anything else left to say, Mike?
No, I'm wiped out. This is a great episode.
All right. Well, until next week, then, we'll see you guys then.
All right. See you guys.
Later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
What's the deal with the podcast? What's going on? It's just crazy. It's wild. It's the Crispy Noodle 2016. Oh my gosh.